You're listening to a Ragnarok Rock actual play. If you like what you hear and want to share your thoughts with us, you can follow us on Twitter at Ragnarok Rock. Like us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/RagnarokRock. Email us at info@RagnarokRock.com. Leave us a voicemail at 516-362-6373. Or comment on our website. Ragnarok Rock is also available through iTunes, so be sure to check us out there as well. Thanks for listening, and enjoy the game.
You had to have seen that.
Oh, yes, I did.
You had to have. There's no way
and
that
welcome,
was going to happen.
Welcome to another Ragnarok actual play. Today, we will be, for Ragnarok first, we will be playing Deniable, a game of unwitting spies tempted by easy money. This is this is a game by Stuart McDermott and Joe Sweeney.
It's dangerously easy.
And it is a semi-diceless game.
Or dangerously cheesy.
No, it's not.
Damn it.
So,
I'm throwing out.
Today, why don't we introduce ourselves and our characters. I am Ed, and I will be playing the director of this the pilot episode of Deniable.
I am James. I am playing a character known as Scotty Shaw Savage. He is an IT guy. He loves video games, and he's super addicted to MMOs.
Hi, everybody. I'm Ryan. My character today is going to be Addison Wright Jr. Addison is an estate lawyer, 33 years old. In his limited free time, he builds and paints miniature cityscapes. And because he is in estates law and he lives with his elderly invalid grandfather, his vice is that he is a cheapskate. He clips coupons, he dumpster dives for food at the supermarket, and he wears really old threadbare suits that are seasons out of style.
Is his arms pumped up by some shit from the thrift shop?
Probably, yeah.
All right, I'm Chris, and I'm going to be playing Drew L. Forsyth. He's a big, bald guy. He owns a cigar shop. He's 43 years old, and his hobby is model trains.
43 is not old.
He's 43 years
old.
Fact
that I'm not that far away from it. Derek here. I'm playing Colin Hamilton, an assistant hotel concierge who loves to play darts and has a weakness for the ladies.
My name is Meyer, and I like to fight.
Drink it, fight.
He's Finley.
And if I see a pretty girl, I'll sleep with her tonight.
I'm going to be playing Johnny Christopher Nichols, who is remarried and lives with not only my wife's twins, but also my twins. I work at my family motel, the Nichols Motel.
I'm gonna
the Nickel Motel.
Your grandfather's always gonna call you Alan instead of Addison.
Johnny likes to, in his spare time, to binge watch movies on Netflix Instant. And he occasionally likes the occasional joint here and there.
I feel like I didn't give such a good character description compared to the rest of you.
That's because you suck.
Hi.
A little bit.
I'm Will.
I just realized
I'm playing Michael Richard Goodman. He's 34 years old. He is a truck driver. He loves to go skeet shooting. And he is addicted to his cell phone.
All right. So those are our characters. Now, much like a fiasco, we sort of have to come up with the scenes and the plots as we go along. So today our mission is going to be to frame someone. The place we'll be meeting is a shopping mall. The complication we're going to come across is something involving twins, and our antagonist will be a scientist. So for the opening scene, I think that we should, because there's so many of us, we should open up with sort of a combination of an introduction scene and a drop scene where your character is introduced, gets their mission.
Now you said you rolled individually for how we get our missions.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to go over that like one by one as we concoct the scenes? Or
yeah. Okay. So why don't we do this in order? Why don't we? The first thing I rolled was foreign emissary. So
really,
I kind of think that that would be good for one of the hoteliers,
right? If it's a foreign emissary, I would say
I don't have a hotel, have a motel,
right? So right. it would probably make more sense for me.
Okay, so
because as a concierge, I mm-hmm. walk dogs and do errands for people in the Maurice? Hotel, so. That
okay.
would be something. That's
point. I forgot to mention Maurice.
Excuse me. I forgot to mention my estranged teenager son.
We don't need all that stuff. Will come up as we go.
Yeah. Yeah. People will be like, "Why does he suddenly have a kid?" Like, "Oh, I forgot to tell you, I have a kid."
Myers' character has four kids.
So do we want to start off the scene with Derek at the hotel, or do we want to start the scene with? Or Colin, rather. Do we want to start off with Colin at the hotel, or do we want Colin to be at home and introduce Lauren?
No, what if Lauren is dropping him off at work?
That's fine.
Okay, I like that. All right, so, Colin, you're in the passenger seat of a,
Camry.
Of a Toyota Camry. You're in the passenger seat of a Toyota Camry, and, Lauren... She is in yoga pants and
but she's not
a spandex
top thing.
Yeah, a sports bra thing because she's dropping off to work, and then she uses the gym.
Yeah, maybe
at the hotel
membership.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you work there.
That would make sense.
So she pulls up and. Let's say she parks.
How many women actually wear yoga pants and actually do yoga? I mean, come on.
Right.
A few.
There's a few. Yes.
The ones that do yoga.
Right. So she pulls the Toyota Camry into the parking space and...
I'm wearing yoga pants right now.
The...
I was doing yoga earlier, so
she reaches her hand out for the ID card to get scanned so they can park in the parking lot.
Okay.
All right.
Trying to get us back.
So yeah, she holds her hand.
Oh, here you go.
Thank you.
Guys,
now, as I was saying, as I was saying, Colin, you really need to ask Mr. Grimaldi about using the meeting room, because we need to set up a banquet hall for the wedding.
I know we do.
You've been saying that for months now.
Mr. Grimaldi's been very busy.
You see him every day.
I know that, but I'm trying to get a name here. If I just a little while longer, and I can be the head concierge at the hotel. That comes with a lot of stroke around this place.
Hold. Now, I just want to point out that it's perfectly okay. If you have an idea for, like, a tertiary character, you can throw something in. Like, if you want to be, like, you know, the valet, comes in perfectly all right.
I feel like Maurice should just kind of walk by everyone's scene.
Bonjour!
Just a walk.
Okay.
Do it on every single one.
No. How about this? He's panhandling.
Yeah.
He comes up to the Toyota with a spritz bottle, his cigarette hanging out his mouth, and starts spraying the windshield. And
okay.
Goes, no, excuse me, sir. No, we don't need you to clean the.
I need some money for some cigarettes.
All right, Colin, give a few dollars.
Hey, pal. I give you five, you get lost?
Ah, of course. Oh, yes.
Oui, oui.
Oui, oui.
Is that offensive?
Not really.
Blah.
So
you guys decide to make him French, okay?
I get out of the car and I take out a $5 bill and I give it to him.
Oh, thank you, sir.
And he kisses you on the cheek.
This never happened.
Both cheeks.
Both cheeks. And he struts off.
All right.
Lauren walks up to you and starts fussing over you, like, you know, she takes out a gym towel,
right.
Clean gym towel, starts wiping.
Lauren, stop it, okay, stop
you need,
it. Just,
you need to look presentable,
stop it,
dear.
Stop it. Stop it. Okay, I'm good. Okay, this isn't my first day. I mean, you know, and this is just, I'm getting to a groove, and this is going to work out. And I'll tell you what, if I see Mr. Grimaldi today, I will talk to him about the banquet hall.
Yeah?
Okay? Yes.
That's good, because we need to know. We need to know so we can pick a caterer.
Okay, I'm meeting people all the time. I will look at my networks, and I will find out what I can come up with, and I will make a couple of phone calls, and I will see what I can do, okay? But you just got to hold off a little while longer so we can get... Because I'm this close. This close. Hold up two fingers very tiny together. This close to really make it a name for myself here. This close.
Oh, I know, teddy bear. I love okay. you.
And I love you. Now, you enjoy your time at the gym. If you need me, you know where I'm going to be. But it's a busy day today. It's, you know, it's the beginning of the week. A lot of people coming in and coming out. And I think I got my hands full. But, you know where I am.
Okay.
Just as he walks past, he just goes into his office, puts his feet up on his chair, turns on the TV. And that's his day.
That's his day.
I know. I'm just saying, it's just like you go on and on. Like, that would be like.
Excuse me, I have a laptop. I can look whenever I want.
I'll pick you up at 5, honey, and she walks off toward the,
all right.
toward the gym.
Fine. So as they separate, Colin walks down, you know, down a set of stairs to the lobby of the hotel, and is met at the front door by Grimaldi.
Okay, so Mr. Grimaldi, Colin,
Mr. Grimaldi, sir, how are you doing, sir?
Well, I'd be better if you were behind the desk.
I'm getting there. I'm sorry. I'm late. This never happens. My fiance Lauren. She has some extra requests today, and I apologize. And there was a guy in the parking lot, but I took care of it.
you just see him kind of wandering around still in the lobby. he's
still out there cleaning.
I took care of it, but I have a full docket of things today to do today. So I am ready to do it and ready to go and willing to go. It's a good day, Mr. Grimaldi. How are you, sir?
Get behind the desk.
Yes, of course. Okay. All right. So he goes behind the desk and opens his book and starts to busy himself with his schedules for the day.
All right. So at Colin's looking down at his book and he's jotting things down and there are things going on. In the
hotel
kind of things. There are people checking in and bags being wheeled about. And you see a man in a long black coat wearing a suit, and he's got a little pencil mustache. He's wearing a big floppy hat, walking with a gold-topped cane. And he's pulling a briefcase. And he walks up to your desk, and he rings the bell, even though...
Is he wearing... He's wearing white gloves.
Yeah. He rings the bell.
Can I help
you,
sir? Ding.
The white cotton gloves.
Right. Yes, sir. Welcome to the Arcadia Arms Hotel. How may I be of service?
Ding.
Yes, I was wondering if I could get one of those brochures to local attractions...
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Reaches down, I don't even break eye contact. Reaches down right below, you know, beneath the desk and grab it. Here you go, anything you need is in here, and if you can't find anything here, you talk to me. I'll get you anything else you need.
Yes, well, obviously I'm new to the area. I'm
obviously.
From round here, in case you couldn't guess.
Ah, well, I meet new people every day from all over the place. I don't judge.
Do you get much people from my neck of the woods, South Africa, actually?
Oh, sure. I mean, just in the last week, I've met people from Holland, Netherlands for you and me, and I've met people from Denmark, from Russia. There was a couple from Wisconsin in the States. So, you know, there's many places around.
Have you ever, done other sort of work?
Sir, At the Arcadia Arms Hotel, I am to do anything that a guest requires to make his stay the best experience he's ever had in his life.
Butt sex.
Except for that.
But I'm not a pimp.
Right.
Yeah. And something else
you
that we talked about.
You seem to be quite good at your job, Mr. Hamilton.
I try very much. You know, I meet people, I make friends, and when you make friends and you network, and you'd be amazed what you can make happen around here.
Well, I'm glad that you've been able to outfit yourself here.
How did you know my name was Hamilton?
Well, the organization gave me a dossier.
Which organization would that be?
You know about
it. Oh, okay.
The organization.
Right, but you still would be. Which organization would that be?
Well, I'm just going to...
Why, this very hotel. I looked at your name badge.
My name badge just says, Colin.
I'm just going to give you a tip. You're allowed to accept tips.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes, well, you keep this for yourself.
Okay.
Be sure to open it and look inside it. And,
no shit.
What is it? I will get to reading this brochure. Hopefully, I can... a zoo. There's a zoo in town.
I love this zoo.
You open it, a whole thing of powder just pops into your face.
And you die. Oh, that was fun.
That was easy.
I love anthrax.
Oh, and if you have any questions,
I'm gonna give you the burp.
Just ask for Rathbane.
Rathbane. Oh, what did he hand me?
He handed you a $50 bill.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Hamilton.
Very obviously wrapped around
Hamilton,
a note.
Baby. Wait, he handed me a grand.
A 50 pound note. Yeah.
Are we going English or no?
No, we don't have to. I just wanted him to be. He's a foreign.
Yeah, he's foreign. So you have to be from some
foreign embassy. So
you have to be from somewhere that we're
so
not.
So I decided he was from South Africa.
South Africa was a good.
That's fair.
I like
yeah,
that.
I like that.
Yeah,
okay.
That's a creepy accent.
Rathburn.
You do it pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
It's a fun one.
What is written on the $50 bill?
In God we trust.
It says the Hamilton Mall.
Aha.
Uh-huh. No, that's your name.
The Hamilton Mall.
It says
I own a mall?
It says the
Westfield is that company that owns all
the
malls.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, so let's just say it says the Westfield.
The Westfield. Alright.
The Westfield, 8 p.m.
It's usually like the Westfield something. It's like,
yeah.
Well, like the one by us.
This is the.
Let's
the
make
first.
A fictional town. What do we want to call the town?
Where Westfield the Raccoon.
Strudelsburg. Strudelsburg.
I feel like it should be something like semi creepy, like Sunnyvale.
Strudelsburg
is creepy.
What are all those? What are all those names in Stephen King novels?
Derry, Maine.
Yeah, Castle Rock.
Something Bay, maybe.
Michael Bay, that's pretty cool.
How about Nilbog Bay?
Nilbog,
that's Goblin backwards.
Paradise Bay.
Paradise Bay.
All right, so it says Westfield, Paradise Bay.
All right.
Paradise Cove.
Oh.
I like that.
Paradise Cove.
Paradise
nice.
Cove.
So you all live in Paradise Cove.
That's
nice.
A good name. Yeah. What tells me?
And I don't think it's
been
a Power Rangers place. I don't think that. There's been a lot of coves and bays, but I don't think it's. I don't
did
think
you hear
a,
how they want to reboot
right,
the Power Ranger movie?
Oh yeah, you weren't here. We had that discussion earlier.
All right. Very well, Mr. Rathburn. Thank you very much for the tip. If you need anything, you know who to call.
Ghostbusters.
Yes, well, you should get back to work before your boss yells at you again.
And you should really check out that zoo. They have a new exhibit on pandas. It is to die for.
Oh, I plan to.
I want to fuck that panda.
But I love the penguins.
And he tips his hat with his cane and walks off.
All right.
Never mind.
Some man-eating penguins. Yeah, some penguins have a hunger for man flesh.
It's not Boston.
Lovely town,
people. We like it.
People, they so forever.
All right, and then your phone rings, and
it's a you know it's a customer call. Right. So you have to get back to work.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, you the
concierge desk.
You shall see.
Hi. Yeah. I was wondering if you know of any strip joints in town.
I happen to know of two really good ones. All you gotta do is go downtown.
And we'll cut it there.
Okay.
One really bad.
Two fantastic gentlemen's clubs.
Yes, exactly. In the business, we prefer to call them gentlemen's clubs.
And one terrible, dirty, disgusting.
You can refer to that one as cafe. A titty bar.
No.
Alright, our next.
It's terrible.
Yeah. Our next drop is a child with a message. Who scene do we want to do next? Do we want. Maybe James is picking up a kid. Maybe you want somebody's picking up their kid from school.
Well, you wouldn't be.
Probably wouldn't be me if I'm at a cigar shop. Children don't get to go in there.
Right.
I have.
I don't know if it'd be me. I'm an IT guy.
What if we did my scene? I was thinking that I would be at home, so we could have the kid come by as like a Girl Scout selling cookies. Okay. Yeah.
Or a courier delivering something for the law.
Right.
Would you like to buy a raffle to help my troops get to the...
You'll watch...
I can afford more raffles. I bought Chris's already.
That's right. If you're going to buy raffle tickets, you're buying another one of mine. All right,
so...
buy some more next week.
The camera...
We'll bring them if you say you will.
The scene changes to the interior of a ratty apartment, would you say?
Probably, I'm going to say probably a family house that, you know, the mortgages have been paid off and all I have to do is pay the taxes. But there is no furniture in any of the rooms.
That's
except there's a commode in the living room.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a commode in every room.
Could the grandfather be in like a hospital bed too? That could be like a piece of furniture.
Sure. That's what I was gonna say is the only thing you see around are like folding tables, folding chairs.
Right.
She has.
Yeah, it's probably not too clean.
Lots of cats.
I think it'd be easier to clean if
cats are expensive.
You have to pay. Yeah. You have to buy cat litter.
You got
to
feed them.
And the strays.
I feel like have a clean house, just not furnished.
No, it's clean. Okay. It's just he doesn't have any possessions.
If all the furniture is foldable, then it would be extremely easy to clean.
Yeah.
House.
So
with the exception of the you know what. Grandpa Ben is reclining in an old hospital bed. You know, not one of those electronic ones with the motors.
It's a crank one. Just happened to find it was thrown out.
Crank ones that are.
Where did he get it from?
He found it.
I did probably find it. There is
he
a sofa.
It when the hospital replaced all their old ones.
Right. The hospital threw it out, and I picked it up out of the dumpster. There's a
couple of spring supports.
Some bitch got a CAT scan machine.
I shit you not, that used to actually happen when I worked at the old folks' home. We used to throw the old ones out. Somebody would be there in 5 minutes, gone. All right,
that would be my character.
Yeah. No one would buy old Crushy for some reason.
So there's a fold-up, there's one of those old beds, some folding chairs and folding tables.
So I'll say that Addison is sitting in the kitchen. He's got all of the circulars spread out in front of him, and he is just clipping coupons like a madman.
Is it your neighbor's papers, too? You just run around and grab them when they don't pick them up in the morning?
Yeah, sometimes.
No, always. The radio doesn't have his own paper.
and I'm going to say there's an old, and you know, like one of those, like, really cheap plastic radios, just... with the wire sticking out. It's just sitting on the kitchen counter, just plugged in, and just playing probably AM radio.
Okay, yeah.
Why would it be plugged in? He could find batteries to put in it.
He's got a morning cup of tea. He takes the tea bag, squeezes the tea out of it, and puts it in a little plastic bag.
Is he listening to NPR?
For later.
For 10-10 wins?
Probably 10-10 wins.
Yeah. It's one of those cheap little plastic pink radios with a little antenna sticking up. And it's got a little tape deck in the front. And where is Grandpa Benjamin is in bed?
Yeah.
Whereas the bed is... The bed is probably upstairs.
Probably, yeah.
No, I don't think so. How would he get upstairs? He's an old
invalid. That's true. And we don't have the money for one of those, wheelchair things.
I was by the front window.
I was thinking he was going to be upstairs and he just stays upstairs and just bellows to...
He just stays upstairs to up and down.
That's or he could be downstairs on the bed behind one of those accordion screens.
Yeah. I feel like he should be... In an inconvenient area to get, like, he's just always bellowing for Addison. Addison doesn't have to be taking care of him, he's as far away from his far away
out of sight. Out of mind.
Addison hangs out upstairs because Benjamin can't get upstairs.
Okay, so maybe
so he's always calling from him from downstairs.
Okay, yeah. that works.
So he's downstairs in the living room, and you're like upstairs.
Addison is enjoying the last few moments of peace in his day.
You're in a completely bare room. So, all right. Camera opens up on a completely bare room. There's just a folding table with the radio on it plugged in.
With all of the papers that I've stolen from my neighbor spread out.
And you're sitting on a folding chair clipping out coupons.
Oh, wait, you know what? Instead of 10-10 wins, he should be listening to FM, and he just enters every radio contest. They have the, what do they call them? I think they call them prize pigs or something, that they just sit around and call in all day and enter radio contest after radio contest after radio contest to get money.
Okay.
So while you're clipping coupons, you should be on the phone with, like, two different radio stations.
And it's, let's say, it's summer. Whatever. It's summer in Paradise Cove, and it's sweltering.
No,
so
he's got a little
You have a little oscillating fan, you have the windows open, and you're in your boxers and a tank top.
That's a dirty tank top. Ugh. This is bad. I'm going to have to change my clothes every 3 days now.
Caller number 97 would win $200.
Oh, shit, this one's only 50.
All you need to do is call in and give us the answer. Who was the 41st president of the United States?
Was it Obama?
Did you say Obama?
Yeah. Obama.
President Obama. He's a world president.
No, it's who is the... who's Chester A. Arthur?
Which mall had the worst zombie outbreak?
Who is the whatever number? Who is the president of?
Well, why wouldn't it just be what number president was Chester A. Arthur?
What is the capital of
reference?
Hey.
So yeah, they ask you the number of the president that Chester A. Arthur is.
What is the capital?
All right,
of Iceland?
I'm guessing that I'm on the phone, but some on the radio you hear somebody else.
He was the 21st president of the United States.
Okay. Who is the 21st president of the United States of America?
Oh, so I pick up the phone and I quickly dial the number for the radio station. And I hang up and dial again. And I figure about this time...
Wait, hold on.
Speed dial four.
Go ahead, call a third time.
I call a third time. Yes. Alan! Just a second, Grandpa! Alan! Grandpa, just a second. Alan! Come on.
You hear a cane banging on the ceiling.
You are the 89th caller. If you can give us the answer, who is the 21st president of the United States of America?
Just a minute, Grandpa.
I'm sorry, we can't hear you say that again. For the $200, who is the 21st president of the United States?
Who is that? Chester A. Arthur.
Let's say that he's banging. He's
right. Boom, boom,
Ben,
boom.
Grandpa Ben is still banging.
Through the radio, all you hear is, Alan! Alan!
I'm sorry, the answer is not Alan.
No,
I'm just... sorry, you did not win the $200. Next caller.
Oh, this is Miriam from Sunnydale. The answer is Chester A. Arthur.
That's right.
Alan, it's a bad one.
You're gonna need to change the sheet. Addison clicks off the radio, sighs, puts down his safety scissors, and picks up a ratted old bathrobe that's
studies his actual scissors for a minute and puts them down.
And walks into the downstairs living room where his grandpa Ben is.
Where he proceeds to gag at the smell.
Oh, grandpa. Oh. I told you not to let me eat all them prunes.
You shouldn't have left the ball so close.
Can we say that you like to watch things only on projectors, like the old-time projector?
No. I've got an old
projector.
Sure.
The only technology
I
you trust.
I need you to put on Gone with the Wind and change me.
He watches Gone with the Wind every day.
4 times a day.
All right, Grandpa.
Fiddle-dee-dee, Grandpa.
Turn on the movie first. I don't like to think about what's going on. I'm sure you wouldn't mind the distraction either, Alan.
Oh, sure. Oh, I'll put it on, Grandpa.
Oh, it's a hot out, too. So it's really
oh, yeah. Terrible. Oh, yeah. Alan, turn that fan off. It's so cold.
Yeah, he has the blankets all the way up.
I just love the fact that you can go to bed.
I'm shivering. You have to turn the fan off before
Grandpa,
you can take my sheets down.
It's 90 degrees.
It's 90 degrees cold.
Probably Celsius.
Yeah.
Maybe in that Celsius.
Grandpa, aren't you...
What
happened to the tough old soldier? You were always telling me about how you lived through a freezing winter in Korea.
And now I don't have to freeze.
That's why you won the war.
Yeah, I won the war so I wouldn't have to freeze. Turn off the damn fan.
Fine, I reach over and I click off the oscillating fan. There are little streamers that just sort of fall limp immediately as soon as it turns off. Yeah. And I begin the laborious process of stripping down my grandfather
at
and
this
changing
point,
him.
Because your doorbell doesn't work because you never got it repaired, there's a big bang on the door.
Alan, someone's at the door!
Which I think should set off a PTSD attack.
Okay, even better.
Alan, what was that?
He grabs you.
Alan.
He starts trying to get up.
Grandpa, Alan. No. Grandpa,
they're after us.
Grandpa, it's not the Chinese.
It is. Where's my gun? Where's Amy?
Grandpa, Amy. Grandpa, you're Amy. Home from the ROK. You don't need to...
Girl named Amy.
That has a different area.
Yeah, it has a different area.
No, I can remember the
gun's
name,
one
but not his grandson's name.
Right.
Where's Amy?
It was Addison. It. Where's Addy?
Okay. They're coming to get us.
I think Benjamin should dive pantsless behind the behind.
He's not diving anywhere, but he could fall out of bed.
So Benjamin
still half covered.
Grandpa
had some dingleberries hanging out.
Grandpa Ben yells, "Take cover!" and then falls out of bed.
Yeah, he starts dragging himself on his back. With a big trail of shit.
Oh.
He's going to try and hide underneath his bed, but he's going around.
Okay, Grandpa, you find that foxhole. I'll be right back. I'm going to get the shovel.
Addison takes off the rubber gloves that he was wearing. Very careful. They'll leave them in a state where he can
put it back on.
He washes his hands with the gloves.
With the gloves on.
Leave them in the sink to dry.
All right. Just a minute. And then he takes off the gloves really quickly, runs to the front door.
Oh, God.
Opens it up.
You want to play some cookies?
There's an 8-year-old girl, black hair and pigtails, Girl Scout.
I think the first thing she has to ask is, what's that smell?
And she looks at you.
Can she be a little oriental? Because
yes, a little. That's fine. She's a little Chinese girl.
Okay. I don't think Benjamin is going to be able to see her unless she comes in, though.
Oh, God, what is that?
Oh,
did something die?
Don't worry about it. What can I do for you, sweetheart? He steps out of his house and closes the front door behind him.
Mister, I'm a Girl Scout, and I'm selling cookies. And I want to know if you want to buy any cookies, because if you buy a lot of cookies, I get to go to Disney.
Alan!
Oh,
is it Wordle?
I'm doing it, didn't he?
How much are the cookies, and how quickly can you get them for me so that you can go away?
Oh, that's not nice. Don't tell me to go away.
Alan!
I like you. You're funny.
Well, listen, how much are the cookies? 25 cents, 50 cents, can I buy it? Do I have to buy them? Do I have to buy them by the box, or can I buy them individually?
No, you have to buy them by the box. They're $15 a box.
Oh,
they're like $5.
I thought they were $5.99.
This is a different universe.
It's Paradise Bowl prices.
I don't know if I can.
For just a box of cookies. Yeah, ridiculous.
You're gonna say no to a Girl Scout?
I would hate to do that, sweetheart. I'm not sure I can afford that in my budget right now. Give me a second.
You hear the bed just fall over.
He quickly steps back inside his house.
The door opens. You hear.
Just one moment. I'll be right back. He slams the door. And there's just a couple of beats. He comes back with an enormous jar of quarters. I'm sorry.
Those are my quarters, damn it!
he again steps back outside, closes the door. How much did you say? $15?
Mm-hmm.
Alright, this is gonna cut into my grocery money for the week, but I suppose. He counts out $15 in quarters.
Okay.
Plus tax.
Alright, well, if
so he's got like he just hold out your hands and he counts out 160 quarters.
Gosh.
Oh. Yeah, could you just put them in my bag?
Oh, yeah, sure. And he dumps them all in.
And then if you'll just what kind do you want?
Oh, tagalongs?
Tagalongs. Okay. You want a second box?
Is it going to cost me another $15?
No, you get a second box for $10.
Oh, are you sure you can't do anything for me? Because, I mean, like, $15 is quite an investment. I'm not quite certain that I would like to buy a second box for any more than, say, $5.
Yeah, I can only sell them for what the organization sells them for.
I'm 8.
I mean, they set the prices, not me.
Ah, in that case, if I'm going to buy a second box, can I speak to your troop leader? Maybe negotiate some kind of a. Some kind of a deal.
A plaque or a sponsorship.
Right.
How about I just give you a receipt for your one box and get the hell away from you?
Okay, honey, that would be fine.
All right.
You see the Curb episode when
she writes some stuff down on a piece of paper.
Has a period.
All right, well, the organization thanks you.
It's pretty funny.
I take the page. As soon as she says the organization, I kind of freeze. I take the page, unfold it, and look at it. It says...
Oh, goddammit, I'm not really getting cookies, am I?
It says, one box tag... What did I say? Tagalongs?
Yeah.
One box tagalongs, $15, and then the...
Pick up a song.
Meeting time, 8 p.m. at the Paradise Cove Mall. And then underneath, in very, very big bubble letters, it says, "You are a freak," with a little smiley face. All right, dear. Thank you so much. And she hands me the box of cookies, and I just kind of like... I'm juggling it, the jar of quarters and the page, and I step back inside.
Alan, what am I doing on the floor?
You were taking cover from the Chinese, Grandpa.
The Chinese are here. Where's Henry?
Forget Amy, Grandpa. I got some... I look at the box of tagalongs. K-rations for you.
All right. This one, I'm actually going to pick for us because I like this one a lot. We're going to James' scene next.
All right.
Yay.
Oh.
James.
So am I in my office?
Let's you're at your office, but you are not working.
No, I'm playing on the office computer. It's got better bandwidth than at my house.
So let's, you know what? We're gonna, I think we'll start the game. We'll start this scene in the land of Forgania.
Forgania.
You are the hero Brawlin.
Yeah, I'm the hero Brawlin. Don't worry, maiden, Brawlin will save you.
A human warrior carrying a battle axe, a human paladin.
Aww.
Carrying a battle axe and wearing golden armor.
Ah.
Traveling through the land of Forgania.
Oh, just 2,000 more kills I can get the diamond armor.
I think we should do this scene starting, like, as if you were the character. So, like, it just cuts to, you know, a forest.
You just have a human warrior with a battle axe.
It cuts to a forest, and there's a sorcerer in purple and black robes.
And he's summoning,
carrying a long staff, and there's a beautiful maiden in white. And laying on a sacrificial altar.
Can he also be summoning boar pigs for me to fight?
Sure. And he has ram horns on his head. And he's speaking in tongues and waving his arms over the maiden. And there's a circle of fire around him, and she's screaming,
"Help me! Help me, brave paladin! Free me from the evil sorcerer's clutches!"
"Don't worry, maiden. Brawlin will save you."
From the bush, a gilded paladin steps forward, brandishing a battle axe.
Oh, I need a god.
And the sorcerer, Malaforth, turns around and says, "Ah, Brawlin, you think you can save your beloved, but you cannot. You must fight my boar pigs first." And...
Boar pigs?
They're boar pigs.
Yeah, they're not just boars.
They're a little stronger than pigs, but not quite as strong as boars.
Undead boar pigs.
Undead boar pigs. Even better.
A circle of undead boar pigs with flesh rotting off of them emerges from the ground.
Oink, oink, oink. Oink, oink, oink.
Oink, oink, brains.
Oink, oink, brains.
"You will never defeat my undead boar pigs. Now, back to my spell." And he begins cackling and speaking in tongues again while she screams.
"With my mighty axe, I shall slay these undead boar pigs. For Paltax!
Squeal!
Violet Balin just goes to work on these boar pigs and decapitates them and smashes them to bits as they squeal and explode in
bacon and
balls of divine light.
"This is child's play. Ooh, look, a gold coin."
And as you...
Mana!
And as the last bacon. Undead boar pig is smote by divine power, the circle of fire around Malaphor vanishes. And
game
he turns
changer.
Around.
Mana!
"Very well, then. I shall take you on myself." And he fires a ball of purple energy at you.
Oh no, purple.
With your axe.
"With my mighty axe, I shall deflect this span, this energy beam you're sending at me."
And he holds up the axe and it breaks. And his character dies and has to restart back at start.
You're taking off an emboss by yourself.
Alright, so you're hit with the ball of energy and just your character, it says, "You are dead."
Damn it! Well, oh, come on! I almost got him this time!
"You are dead." So you get hit and fall back, and the camera pulls back and it says, "You are dead" on the screen, and the camera pulls back and you're just sitting in your office.
On the computer screen, you see the sorcerer walks over and starts humping the corpse.
It just starts teabagging the corpse.
Yes.
Every time I just flip my keyboard over the computer. This stupid game! And it just, you know, I'm starting...
prancing and screaming and cursing.
Prancing?
Prancing. Follow us.
Yes.
There's a guy that had to defeat the wizard.
So yeah, I have a bobblehead of it, and I just start hitting it with a hammer. stupid! And I guess the phone rings. What?
And... is this Scotty?
Yeah, this is Scotty.
Yeah, this is Mr. Sutcliffe.
How can I help you today, Mr. Sutcliffe?
You know, my office is right next to the IT department, and
what, you have a problem? You need me to come over there?
No, actually, I'm having a meeting with some clients and making a bit of a racket. No, you got some busy IT stuff to do with your fireballs and your Wi-Fi.
Oh yeah, the whole server just shut down. I was just I was a little angry because somebody disabled their firewalls upstairs, and you know they had to reroute some stuff. It's fine now.
I was just wondering if maybe you could keep the noise down.
That character is much more introverted than James's character is.
And on the screen, the red letters that say you died, says hang up the phone.
Whoa.
What? I'm not gonna hang up.
What? What are you saying?
Don't worry. Everything's good. Everything's fine.
It just says seriously.
We're
him off the phone.
Okay, we're fine. Don't worry. I'll click.
What the hell is going on?
And there's a little text box below that you could type into.
All right, I go and find my keyboard that I threw across the room and put some of the letters back in.
Oh, I thought the phone was just going to ring immediately when he hung up.
I don't. Hello? ?
4, 8, 15, 16, 20, 30, 42, enter.
Stop calling so much attention to yourself.
Stop making your game so hard.
But I was so close this time.
You need a new pair of shoes.
No, these ones are fine. I just got them. They're Dr. Scholl's. They got the cushion and... How do you know I need a new pair of shoes?
There's a great store at the mall. The Paradise... The
Paradise Cove.
The Paradise Cove.
The Westfield Paradise Cove.
All right.
8 p.m.
Sure, I will go there and buy some new shoes. Particular reason why?
You know why.
At that, I stare at the screen blankly for a while and... check my watch to see what time it is.
You know why. M00B.
Yeah. It's M00B.
Noob.
Oh, that's it. Wham.
All right, now we'll cut it there.
Back across the room.
BTW.
Yeah. Paladin class sucks.
Noob!
You're going to make me prance again. Barbarian's where it's at. Noob.
We're going to put Maurice in the last scene.
Sorry, he can't be everywhere all the time.
We didn't put Maurice in.
Maurice should have been the guy at the door.
I the curse go. All
right.
I said, clean your windows.
We have mailbox.
Here are mailbox.
The next options we have mailbox, exploding USB, and family member. So family member is going to be Chris, because Chris is getting it from...
So I guess it's me, mailbox.
Well, from relation. So Chris is getting it from the girl. Oh, right, the bookstore girl.
Yeah, right.
Well, it's a heck.
I guess the kind of truck driver could be is a mail...
you have a delivery.
Oh, yeah, you have a mailbox on your route that you have to stop and check every time and see if you've got a drop.
Yeah.
All right, so let's do Will for mailbox, then.
Okay.
And then I guess Meyer would be exploding USB.
God!
Exploding what?
USB.
Well, of course it would.
Goodbye. Like a drive or a port? I guess either, right?
If it's that vague.
Oh, no.
Freddie and Teddy rigged up the USB with lighter fluid.
All right, so you punch your keyboard, and
no, it would work.
The keyboard flips, like, into the camera, and then the scene cuts to the interior of a diner.
Mm-hmm.
And, just a plate of waffles, and that the like keyboard crisscross.
Waffles are the ultimate.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's just a close-up shot of a plate of waffles.
Okay, I get
so
it.
So we match cut from the keyboard
to the waffles. Yeah.
And a fork is just stabbed into the waffles, and the whole thing is just lifted up and shoved into a big fat guy's mouth, a big fat, like, trucker guy.
You're fat?
I'm not fat.
No,
no, this is a random guy.
Oh. It's the
wow, look at you personifying everything. Jeez.
Weren't you listening?
I kind of thought it was Will, too.
There's a really obnoxious country and western song on the jukebox.
It's Taylor Swift.
She took my truck.
Hey, Pam, I need another order of them waffles.
Come right up, hon.
Hey, Pam, tell him to chew before he swallows next time.
You take your time there, Chester. I'm not calling an ambulance again this week.
I'm fine. Just give me a cup of coffee.
All right, hon. Here you go.
Just the way you like it, with arsenic.
I'll get you that coffee.
There's only a bit of rat poisoning in this one.
And, let's say... Michael Richard Goodman is sprayed by spittle from Chester's waffles.
There's a significant amount of syrup and waffle.
Ooh. Sorry, Mike.
Very visual for this audio podcast.
Sorry.
Watch where you're spitting those.
I actually got up to prance. What I meant to say was pace.
Hell, I didn't mean to do it, Mac. I choked is all.
You don't wonder why you choked. You stuck the whole thing in your mouth.
Come on. Them waffles is good. You know that.
I know how good the waffles are. I have a couple in front of me right now.
Which I'm not going to eat because they got your crap.
But I can't eat them because now they got stuff all over.
Well, if you ain't going to eat them, then I am. And he just stabs his fork into your waffles and puts them on his plate and starts cutting.
Eggs. Pam walks over and she sets the fresh plate of waffles in.
Hey, those is mine.
Well, now they're mine.
Now, Chester, you behave yourself. You got your waffles.
All right.
Dick.
Hey, Mr. Goodman, we do not use that kind of language at my diner.
I'm sorry, Pam.
That's right, Mr. Goodman.
This diner's a place of God.
All right. When Pam uses your full name, your last name, you know you're in trouble.
I continue drinking my coffee.
Okay.
And getting rather really annoyed at this man sitting behind me. Even though I probably see him like every day.
Probably spits waffles on you every day.
Yeah. Well, probably not every day. It's probably like
whenever you guys happen
Monday
to be
waffle
the same
day, Tuesday sausage
whenever you pass by this
particular
diner.
Yeah, that's true. It's a truck driver.
Because you're a truck driver.
Right.
Well, he could have the same route every day and stop at the same diner every day.
That's like, true.
Some businesses, you know.
Yeah.
I'll see if they once a week trip.
Alright.
Once a week thing.
You go from coast to coast.
Right.
Yeah. This is your halfway point.
It can deliver just the right. Same stores or every.
Pam!
Yeah, hon.
Can I get the check?
Sure thing, babe.
Alright, thank you.
What you delivering today, Mike?
I'm actually delivering today. I'm delivering stuff to Staples.
Staples?
Yeah.
Some seals.
What you delivering to Staples?
Wouldn't you know it? Staples.
I guess they do really got that. I guess they do really got that.
At office supplies, you know? Like,
so are we product placement now?
Staplers. We are not
stapled
by Staples.
Pencils. There's some pencils in there.
This is Staples with two P's, just so you know.
Yeah.
Stopples.
Stopples.
We already used Westfield.
Is it umlaut somewhere in there?
Doesn't matter.
And Radio Shack.
When did we use Radio Shack?
I don't remember using Radio Shack.
Oh, you just dropped down the name.
It's Rodeo Shack.
What's up, Will?
Rodeo
you
Shack.
You can kick back to this stuff now?
It's not a Radio Shack.
Maybe.
It's Rodeo Shack.
Yeehaw!
Yeah!
Discount electronic. Come to the room.
I love that.
Honestly, I'm appalled that you guys would suggest any of us are getting any kickback to McDonald's.
You ain't leaving on account of me spitting on you, is you?
No. You know how we're timed on these routes?
Yeah. You know what you should do? You should just change your clock when you finish your route.
Route.
Well, I think you would say route.
Yeah, no, you would say route. I would
yeah, route and tuning, you say it.
Well, might be a good idea. Sounds like a good idea, but if I get caught, I can get fired.
That's the trick. You don't get caught.
No, my luck, I would.
Here's your check, Mike.
Thank you very much. I lay down
the usual amount.
I'm
going to go deliver these staples to Stopples.
Here you go, $8.46.
No, I'd say it's probably like...
And you get a text saying...
Oh. Your phone's constantly buzzing, by the way. Hey, Mike, I'm at your house. Shut off my electronics.
I'll get my phone. And it's Maurice, of course.
Wait, didn't we say at the beginning that Will lives in a halfway home?
Yeah. Yeah.
With his dodgy roommate, Maurice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
A halfway home. So
I just finished the mayonnaise. You'll pick up some more.
Also, can you get me a carton of cigarettes?
I just stare at my phone. I nod my head and I pay the amount and I...
I don't forget. I need $7.46.
And I need a baguette.
So,
Do not ask why.
Oh, yeah. This is don't ask why.
You get into the diner. You leave the diner and you climb into your rig.
Yep. And I decided to head to the store, and on the way to the store, I want to stop my mailbox.
All right, so you have a little P.O. box.
Yeah, at the post. I guess at the post office, okay. Right?
That's closest to that diner because you always happen to.
That's
find
usually where P.O. box is. That's what P.O. stands for.
Yeah, actually, it is close to that diner. That's why I stopped there, and so that's good reason.
And you're right, push-up pin.
No.
Why not? Pam seems like a really nice.
It's a fictional character. You don't know what she looks like.
So you walk into the post office.
Could be Flo from Alice.
And there's a big wall of P.O. boxes. And there's a short, balding man with little round glasses and little beady eyes. And he's stuffing the P.O. boxes.
Oh.
Can you
see 66? Oh, you did not come home.
You
did not come home. I got scared.
Well, I come in every week, so I should probably know who the guy is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we should call him.
Mel.
Hey, Mel.
Oh. Hello, Mr. Goodman.
Mr. Gordon. mind if I get my mail today?
Oh, go right ahead.
I go up to it, use my key, and open it up.
Get anything good?
Let's see. Bills.
This letter will explode in 5 seconds.
Birthday card, then. And,
oh, happy birthday.
It's Maurice. It's Maurice, and it's 4 months late.
Happy birthday, Maurice.
Here's the IOU, IOU. And it's another IOU.
IOU, one IOU.
Oh, look, it's an IOU for Maurice. That's good. All right.
The money I'll give you a penny jar.
and on the bottom it says, don't ask why.
You do not ask why.
You do not ask why.
There's a check made out for $4.30.
The memo line says, you do not ask why.
That bill from Paradise Cove Gas and Electric, you might want to open that one.
Yeah, I open it.
It's a bill from Paradise Cove Gas and Electric, and at the very bottom it says amount due. Paradise Cove, Westfield, 8 p.m. And it's highlighted.
I see.
Okay.
I close it back up.
Take it.
Oh. Hope the damage wasn't too severe.
Probably working on the shift.
Maurice probably ran up another bill under my name again.
Yeah, I say that. Maurice probably ran up a bill under my name again.
Ah, Maurice. That crazy Frenchman.
We need to be getting married.
Alright. I leave and I guess I'll head, I check the time and how close the time is it supposed to be at the mall?
It's during the day.
They were just eating breakfast at right. the diner, so.
So it's early. It's like.
So he probably has a little drive to get there, too,
yeah.
though.
Yeah. Well, it could be like 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
So, like, what time was the meeting supposed to be?
8:29.
8 p.m.
Oh,
it's morning.
So it's really early. It's like, I gotta say, it's like, what, 7:30?
You have time to get to Staples.
You gotta get to Staples.
Okay. Yeah, you get to Staples. You gotta drop off to Staples at Staples.
All right, I guess I'll go to Staples, unload, and then
and then you got another run to make to Rodeo Shack.
It's a Rodeo Shack. Oh, it's in the mall.
And you have to stop and get Maurice a baguette and a carton of cigarettes.
And a jar of mayonnaise.
And a jar of mayonnaise. You do not ask why.
All right. So,
why are we baguette? Don't ask me.
You don't ask me.
You do not ask why.
So, let's just say that this will be a cool shot. So, Will, you get into your big rig.
Yeah.
And you're driving down the road, and you turn the corner, and you drive right past the Nichols Motel.
Yeah. I've seen the Nichols Motel.
And the camera...
The Nickel Motel.
Nickel?
The Nickel?
Yeah. Yeah, just was one nickel spinning around on the sign. It's a nickel.
Okay. All right, so the Nickel Motel. So the you drive past the nickel, and the camera goes past
it's
the
a motel.
Spinning nickel.
It only costs a nickel.
And it zooms in on Johnny Christopher Nichols, who is currently cleaning one of the motel rooms. It's a decent room.
Mm-hmm.
They left it a little bit messy.
Oh well.
What if as the camera is zooming into the motel, we see from behind the motel there's a little fireball in the background.
Two red-headed kids run away.
Okay.
I have got a little nice radio on my cart. Listen to some music. I'm hearing someone mess up this thing on the radio on the some on a.
Alan!
I'm sorry, that is not.
Yeah, that's good. you hear that?
What an idiot!
Alan was the 46th president.
Yeah, what an idiot! Everyone knows it's Lincoln.
So you're vacuuming, or you're making the bed.
Yeah.
What the hell are your twins' names again?
Fred and Ted.
Fred and Ted.
Oh, Fred and Ted.
And we're Chad and Missy.
Yeah, I know who we are. And
I'm walking in sunshine.
You look on the nightstand. Somebody else forgot to return their key. It's just laying there on the nightstand.
Oh, what the. Alright, I go and pick it up.
Alright, so you pick up the key, and attached to it is a USB drive. It's, you know, one of those keychain USB drives. It's attached to the key.
I look at it suspiciously. Uh-oh.
Yes.
Like that.
Uh-huh.
As our listeners can hear that jingle, that is the sound of a keychain USB.
Oh, yeah. You can do that all the time.
Oh my fucking god, it spins!
Alright, well, I finished cleaning
up. Don't watch me. Go on.
I finished cleaning up. I pocket the USB. Finished cleaning up the room.
Daddy!
Yeah, so you pocket the USB.
Yeah.
You're just about finished anyway.
Yeah.
There's a couple of bits of laundry on the floor you pick up.
Mm-hmm.
You give the bed one last Febreze.
Yeah. And I want to black like this room.
It should be Fedries.
Yeah.
Yes, Fedries.
Fabries.
The Breeze.
Fabries.
Fabries.
It's Fabries. It's Breeze.
Fabraz.
Fabraz.
Yeah, about this like time, bras. There's a knock
Fabergé.
At the motel.
Fabergé.
There's a knock at the motel room door.
World's first.
It's a father!
That's probably open.
Daddy!
It's cleaning it, so. I don't know.
What's his face? Chad is a.
He wouldn't call him father. He's
no,
that's true.
We call
that's
him
right.
Johnny.
John.
He calls him Jonathan.
Stepfather.
Excuse me, Jonathan.
No, that's not my name at all.
Johnny.
John.
Yeah.
John. I hate to be a bother, but your little terrors, Fred and Ted, have taken Missy's doll and are threatening to light her on fire. Missy is just simply beside herself.
Oh, wait, I was originally going to have Missy run in and complain that they were up to something, then you started. So I was going to come in crying.
Wait, you're my wife or the world my wife?
No, that's...
Maybe
we're your kids.
Oh, you're my daughter.
Maybe we should... I'm your daughter.
We're your stepkids.
He's
Ryan's
being real
Chad.
Kids.
Ryan's being Chad.
So, yeah, Chad. Chad's knocking at the door.
Maybe we stole your diary and we're reading.
Right, okay. Yeah, I forgot we were older.
You're like 17, yeah.
They've stolen Missy's diary and they're threatening to post it on the internet.
She storms in.
Oh, okay.
John!
Yes,
you need to do something about those little brats! They took my diary!
Those are your stepbrothers. I think you should be nice to them. They're just kids.
Ignored them. They keep going through my stuff. You need to put a leash on them and keep them confined to their quarters.
Well, you know, boys could be boys.
We come running in at this point.
No.
Daddy, do you have any matches?
I don't know what she's talking about. We don't have anything.
It's right there.
Matches.
You're holding it behind your back.
I don't have anything.
I
have to go now.
Fred, wait, no, Fred, stop.
Fred comes out.
I'm going to go tell Mother. And then Timmy leaned over and whispered.
Oh my God, you prince!
Oh God, why did I bring you to work today? Why aren't you in school?
Daddy,
it's summertime, John.
French kiss.
I thought Fred and Ted are.
She takes the pillows
school.
And starts throwing them at you. She's just chasing you around with the pillows now from the bed that he just finished making.
You like Freddy? You
shut
like Freddy.
Up! Shut
please,
up!
Please stop this. Please stop.
She likes you, huh?
This.
No, right. That's just gross.
That's it. All
right. She throws the other pillow at your head.
Stop! Oh my God!
You see what you did.
Okay.
Give me back my diary.
You can sort this out. I'm gonna go to the office. Oh God!
You say as you pull a joint out from behind your ear,
and you just hear nothing but screaming and yelling. You think you hear a lamp break?
He walks out two beats past. He comes back in. Ted, give me back my magic.
Give me my lighter.
Here you go, Dad.
All right. And don't set Missy's diary on fire.
It's too much fun to read.
Whoa! Set her diary on. I didn't even think of doing
that. Oh no!
I'm gonna kill you!
Oh my God! We can set this thing on fire!
Oh God!
And we post your secrets on the internet if we burn them. Stupid.
Chad, you're bigger than them. Take them out if you want to. God,
come and get me, Chad.
We
fine, then I will.
I have a baseball bat.
We run off in opposite directions.
I think that Johnny should just walk out as they're having their
I walk out. I tell Chad to be
as
a man.
As you hear all this happening behind you,
as you close the door behind you, just hear like a lamp shatter. And you just hear stuff breaking.
You see in the background, Chad. Waddles out of the room clutching his balls.
And you're just walking to the office.
Just a nothing but chaotic screaming and banging going on in their room.
The office is far enough away that you don't hear any.
That's good.
You open the door and you know the little bell rings. You turn the sign around so it says, you know, No one is in.
Yeah.
You close the door. You lock it.
Yeah. Close the blinds. I open a window a bit.
I was going to say, you have a vent or something.
Yeah, I was going to say there's air conditioning in the
yeah. What do you call those? The ionic breeze or whatever?
Yeah.
There's a little... So you walk in and it's...
The iconic breeze.
There's a little like office in the back behind it. It's behind. There's a desk.
Yeah.
With a little bell, and then behind it is a door that leads to like this tiny office. It's maybe a couple of maybe like 5 feet wide.
Yeah.
6 feet tall. 6 or 7 feet tall.
Okay.
It's basically just a desk.
That's it. My laptop's on it.
Little mini fridge underneath.
Yeah.
And in the corner of the lobby, there's a little Keurig. There's an ashtray on your desk.
All right.
Blazing up.
I blaze up. It's too early to handle this stress.
Okay. So you light up. You take a big
like 10 in the morning.
You take a nice long
drive. It is at 10 in the morning.
It's gonna be one of those days. So I take my laptop.
Do you kind of hear like the phone ringing like from other people in the room?
Yes.
Just complaining about the noise from where we're fighting.
I think he should have a solitary moment.
Okay, we'll give him.
I think this should just be like
it's just background noise.
Yeah,
he hears it, but he's ignoring it.
I think this should this would be more dramatic if it was just a solitary.
Okay.
The phone starts ringing, so he just turns around and pulls the door closed.
He just turns around. He just unplugs the phone.
Yeah, got my laptop.
Or closes the door. That's good. He closes the door.
Get my laptop out. I can take it in my pocket. I put the USB in and see what happens.
Maybe they left some good pictures on there.
Yeah, let's see what it is. If I can get any evidence of who it is.
All right. So, on your screen it pops up. It says sale at the Paradise Cove Westfield Mall, and there's a man on the screen. He's a short, bald man, beady eyes, circular glasses, and he says,
"It's Morris."
Mel.
No, I just say that every time you say someone has beady eyes.
Who's Morris?
The French guy.
Maurice.
Oh, Maurice.
And
same name.
he's standing there, and he's actually, let's say he's wearing a red Staples shirt.
Staples.
Guess he works at Staples.
I know it's summer right now, but your kids got to go back to school sometime soon,
yeah.
And they're gonna have some trouble with their organization.
Yeah.
And it just cuts to a little Asian girl carrying a 3-ring binder.
Alan!
My dad went to the Staples at the Westfield Paradise Cove. The sale, and there's going to be another sale tonight at 8 p.m.
8 p.m.
And it just, it cuts back to the short man. That sale is tonight at 8 p.m. at the Paradise Cove Mall. Be there for organization.
That makes no sense.
You say, "Be there, Mr. Nichols."
And then the USB drive explodes like a firecracker.
Time to pull out that USB drive if you want to save your computer.
And then it just starts just blinking. And then all of a sudden you just see 5, 4,
uh-huh.
3, 2,
yeah.
1.
Your laptop explodes in your lab and sets your lab on fire.
I picture this from a movie. You just see a shot from outside the office, and you just see the flash from under the door.
You see a flash from under the door. This is what happens. You see the flash from under the door. Smoke comes out from under the door. There's a beat. And then the door just opens up, and your crotch is on fire. Your laptop is on your lap.
I got the Keurig in his...
Your crotch is on fire, and you run in.
Keurig, there's water, because he carries the water. I just grab the water from the Keurig and toss it up.
It's hot.
No, the Keurig loses water. That's how the Keurig works, because you fill the water up. So just take the...
It's not hot yet.
So I pull it out, and I go,
much. And he tells him,
are you sure it's a Keurig or is it a Murig?
Yeah.
A Murig, yeah.
It's a Murig.
And then as the smoke rises from your crotch and you take a breather and you bend over and you hear from behind you, ding.
I want to complain about the noises coming from the apartment next to mine.
Oh, I toss a joint into the...
You just turn around and you just see this... A woman, a man, and her two children standing there, mouth agape. And that twirl. I'm just holding...
A joint.
And they're just standing there.
My pants on...
Your pants are...
There's a hole that goes in underwear.
Yeah, and it's just smoking, and you're just holding the joint. You just hear... Ding!
And you just...
And you turn around and they're just. And then you're seeing cuts.
I think you should drop the joint right before.
No, just end it like that.
Yeah.
Caught with your pants down. Almost literally. Almost.
Pants were still up.
Yeah, it's just.
Yeah. It's easier access now. It's breeze. It's for the
with third degree burns.
All right. So Myers had a bad morning.
I think Myers had the best morning.
I think that was my favorite scene so far. All right, so cut to
the mall.
Well, no,
Chris.
Oh yeah, Chris.
Yeah.
Sorry, I keep forgetting.
I was gonna say the cigar shop could be in the mall, but no, not really, because you want to smoke in the cigar shop. It could be out in the parking lot, you know, like a little island store.
Yeah, I mean, I think we could just say it's set somewhere else, probably. I mean, it could be near, it doesn't, whatever. If you want it to be near, it could be.
I don't think what Cove?
Paradise Cove
is all that big anyway, probably.
Probably not,
yeah.
So let's say
you
that...
You would be in the downtown district.
Yes.
Right.
You're on Main Street.
Yeah. No, it's like a high-class cigar shop.
Yeah, right. You're on Main Street.
On Main Street.
Yeah.
And the mall is down the road a ways.
You'd be going to the bookstore to get your...
Yeah.
So let's say you're taking your lunch break.
Lunch break.
Did I mention that the best gentleman's club in town is called the bookstore?
you're taking your lunch break, so you flip the sign over to say out to lunch. You lock the door.
Be back whenever.
Yeah, I have a little clock thing. Be back the next time. Thing. And then just say the bookstore is what? Across the street, maybe.
Yeah.
Down the block.
It's like across the street and down in the next block.
Yeah, so I walk on over. I whistle.
Okay.
And smoke a cigar.
It's not a long walk, so do you just have the small ones?
I leave it on the the ledge by the window when I go in, and then I just grab it when I come back out.
There's like marks on the brick of the building, I would say, because you're just there all the time, so there's like an imprint.
I have my spot.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's you walk up to the bookstore and you walk in. It's a little coffee shop bookstore called Love the Book.
Ooh, Love the Book.
Maurice is sitting on a table, smoking a cigarette, reading a tape.
Now, Maurice's cigarette was right on the thing next to my cigar.
You put your cigar next to a cigarette.
Yeah.
And then you walk in and there's a...
Maurice is hitting on the girl.
Maurice is, what kind of establishment doesn't serve wine 10 in the morning?
I think every single
morning.
Sir. How can I enjoy my book without my wine?
We go this every day, sir. I cannot... You cannot smoke.
Yeah,
or drink wine.
There's a just a barista behind the bar.
Drew walks by. Hey, Maurice.
Oh crap!
Okay. What was the barista? Jill. Hey, Maurice. Hey, Jill.
Wait, you were Drew, right?
Yeah, Drew.
Ah, good morning, Drew. They don't serve wine.
Menu hasn't changed.
Would you happen to have $7.47? You don't ask why.
I tell him every day.
Maurice, you know I don't carry cash.
I need a cigarette.
there's one. I need my cigarette.
You see, on the other side of the store, is a petite girl, brunette. She's got, how old did you say you were? 43 years young.
Being a shock.
43.
She's a little bit younger than you. She's in her late 30s. You know.
Look at you going for the
mousy brown hair, freckles. She's wearing a green apron that says "Love the Book."
Green.
She stole it. And it's the logo is a heart with like pages inside of it.
Okay, it's like a heart shaped book.
And
heart shaped box.
She's pushing a book of a cart of books and she's putting them on the
book
shelf.
Of carts.
Well, hello, love.
Oh, hello.
Wait, didn't we have somebody that's playing her?
Oh, yeah. That's Meyer.
Oh! Well, hello, love.
Wow. Hey, babe.
Got any recommendations for me today? It's been a while.
Let me see. Well,
the Shades of Grey.
How about this? I think will tickle your fancy.
It's 49 Shades of Grey.
Wow. Any recommendation from you?
One shade of red.
You've never steered me wrong before. Just takes the book and tucks it under his arm. So, what are you doing after your shift?
Is it 49 shades of pink?
Oh, you know, I'm busy.
Busy?
Yeah, I've some this one guy shade. I'm going to be seeing.
One shade of red. What guy?
I don't know, some guy who really likes cigars.
I see what you did. You're a clever girl.
I try.
Clever girl. Let me just flip through the book. There's a little page in there. A note or whatever, I guess. It says the bookstore at 8 o'clock. Not the bookstore.
The shopping mall.
The shopping mall shoe store, wasn't it?
It just says the mall.
Alright.
I was specifically told the shoe store, so.
Oh. Then again, how about tomorrow?
Well, for you, anytime.
Alright.
Wink, wink.
I think the bookstore girl, the girl at the bookstore should say, check the last page, and she should turn to the last page. And there's another piece of paper that says, my place tomorrow, that says, like, another address.
It's actually a Polaroid picture of her naked, and on the back it says, my place tomorrow.
Yeah. 10 p.m.
Wow. You're messing around on that one.
No, you guys will probably meet in a
nickel motel.
Yeah, in the nickel motel. All
right, yeah.
It just says the nickel motel tomorrow. Because
then you would know where she lives.
Yeah, that's right. The nickel motel. Yes. I love their
what are
nickel
you
powered massage bags. Beds.
Bags. The nickel powered massage bag. The nickel just throw the bag on your back.
The massage bag.
That works. Sit on it or you go inside it or what?
The massage bag.
It's like a sack of marbles. You just toss it on your back and it's just going. You fill it with nickels.
You take care of yourself now.
Oh,
don't you do anything?
Don't worry about it. I'll take care of myself. This way, I can take care of you tomorrow.
Wink,
wink, wink.
Emoticon, wink. Well, that wasn't awkward.
No, that was very awkward.
It's not as awkward as if I was Eric.
That's true.
That would be extremely awkward
because he would do. We can meet at the motel.
That's true. He would. All right. Yeah, so,
a stutterer.
All girls stutter.
I was just a person.
So, yeah. So you got the book. What are you gonna do now?
Go eat lunch.
Okay. So are you gonna eat at the bookstore?
I'm gonna go eat at the diner.
Okay.
He's got some waffles.
I'm gonna get some waffles. They make some damn good waffles.
And he says in the front of the
world's best waffles.
Best waffles.
So you look at the girl.
They booked your place by the hour. Doesn't work the same.
I'm gonna go get some waffles.
Their Katie Arms is not booked by the hour.
Waffles.
Okay.
All right.
It was in business then.
Yeah, that's true.
That's how we're staying in business.
That's right. That's right.
And he walks outside, and there's an explosion, and this is the Nickel Hotel. All
right, so I think the next scene should probably be the shopping mall.
I would think so. Unless anyone else has something
Unless anybody has an idea for a slice of life scene, which is a scene that would involve, like, maybe we could take a break from the action and...
We haven't really gotten to the action.
Yeah.
We've gotten to introductions.
Our introductions are almost slice of life scenes.
Yeah,
pretty much.
I figured for time's sake we would...
Well, I'm just saying, like, things. We don't have any personal information about Will, really, or James.
Yeah.
Well, the two of them wouldn't really interact, so we'd have to just do two different scenes.
Right, we could.
That's fine.
Or we could just not do them and sort of introduce that stuff next episode.
Yeah, I think we should leave a little stuff for next time.
Yeah,
okay,
I think definitely do character development over a time of series.
Yeah.
So. Okay, so
it is getting a little late. Right?
So we'll just cut to the shopping mall scene then. All
right.
10-10. Oh, that clock's a little fast over there.
You still got some time.
All right.
10-10 wins.
10-10 wins.
Oh no! Now everyone knows what time it is when we were recording this.
Ah, and they know AM or PM.
Ah.
Would it be weird though if it's 10:10
PM
then when they're listening to this?
Oh, thanks, Ed.
Ruin the mystery.
So they don't know what day of the week it is. It's fine.
Thursday.
It's 8 PM at the Paradise Cove Westfield Mall. Let's just call it, instead of, because we've been changing all the brand names, the Southfield Paradise Cove Mall.
All right. I think
the South Plateau.
South. Addison is at the food court taking plastic silverware and napkins.
And ketchup packets.
And ketchup
salt packets.
And anything that he can get his hands on for free. Stuffing them in his...
The lady just finished restocking the napkins and you just opened it and took all of them and just
stuffing them into my shoulder.
She opens
bag.
Up the thing. She walks over, puts the napkins down, opens up the thing, goes back to turn and grab the napkins and they're gone.
All right, so you're at the food court.
I'm in the shoe store.
Well, let's say for sake of ease that anytime you're told to meet at the shopping mall, you don't know each other, but anytime the organization sends you to the shopping mall, they send you to the food court.
I'd say there could be an employees-only door that only we know about, that we have a key for, so that we have privacy.
Or maybe, yeah, I mean, we could come up with an idea like that. Where should you all be meeting?
Yeah, I like the idea of the employees-only door. Maybe like a little hand scanner or something, like really out of place and over the top. A retinal scanner or something.
I like a retinal scanner.
Okay.
You have to.
We go into the bathroom
about,
and open the supply closet and
about,
look into the retinal scanner.
How about a
closet.
Password? Wait, we have to say a password to the cashier working at the Orange Julius.
A password.
You know, I don't like
that. Yeah,
you know,
it's not like that.
I'll have the large, please, with extra Julius.
Extra Julius. Don't skimp on the Julius.
I really like my Julius.
Let's say that the code word is the code word is ordering a large Orange Julius for your Aunt Gladys.
All right.
I would need a large Orange Julius for my Aunt Gladys, please.
So you just have to say, yes, I would like a large Orange Julius for my Aunt Gladys. It's for my, or just, it's for, you haven't mentioned Aunt,
you have to mention,
you have to mention that the order is for your Aunt Gladys.
And What if somebody actually does go there to order something for their Aunt Gladys?
Well, then they would stumble across the
organization.
Would they get mind wiped if they don't belong there?
No, they're killed.
Oh, they're just killed? There's killed. No... All right.
They become part of the Orange Julius. Destroyed.
Orange Julius's people! Right.
So let's open up at the food court. Let's open up at the food court and we'll open with what Ryan said. Addison is...
We don't know each other?
No, you don't know each other.
I mean, we find one of us is behind all one person. Like, what?
Wait, I'm going to order that.
I was always going to order.
So, Addison is filling... What, do you have a knapsack? Or
I've got a shoulder bag.
And you're filling it with plastic?
Plastic silverware, napkins, ketchup packets, salt and pepper, you know, relish, whatever I can get.
The hell, man? You're stealing all the stuff.
I'm not stealing it. It's free. You can't steal free things.
I don't think you're supposed to take everything like that, man.
If they didn't want people to take it, then they should put it behind the counter instead of out here, which is where they put it.
All right, well, you know, it's a free country, I guess.
Yeah, it is. And this stuff is free, and I'm taking it.
Like our country, this is free.
The only thing freer than our country are the mall food court napkins.
Make it your order, man. You kind of pull up the line.
Sorry. I'll have a large Orange Julius for my Aunt Gladys.
What?
Did you just have a stroke?
That was my order, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh.
I have no idea what you guys are saying.
Wow. You both are being really secretive.
Thanks, man. That's my job.
Aren't you supposed to let us in or something?
Just go to the supply closet. The door should be open.
Yo, did your pants go on fire too?
No.
Damn it!
It's a teenage girl.
Yeah.
It's like a 16-year-old girl.
Okay, behind. Did I about say, hello, sir, can I get a larger... It's a girl.
It's a 16-year-old girl behind the counter.
By the way, you have terrible customer service here. Don't gotta be rude, all right? We have customers here. Gosh.
They must be desperate.
I mean, I'm in the customer service business.
Just cut them off and say next.
Next.
I was going to say. I look at the... I'm assuming she's giving us actual Orange Juliuses, otherwise yes. It would look really suspicious. Could you fill this up all the way, please?
She just stares at you and reaches over, and she doesn't break her gaze from you, and pulls the lever and overfills
it. I just hand it to me, overfills.
She overfills it, and it just drips down the side. And she lets that go for a little while, and then she releases the lever and hands it to you without a cover.
Shouldn't be a problem. You have plenty of napkins. Again,
and she hands you this dripping, sticky mess.
Honestly, work on your customer service. Honest, I have my cup by my crotch because it's probably still a little sore. Honestly,
she blows a bubble in your face.
Using the orange.
Oh, she happened to be chewing gum.
Bubble gum. She doesn't just blow a bubble.
She's a crab. She just blew a bubble in your face.
Yeah, oh. She's chewing gum and she blows a bubble in your face.
Alright, so I go.
Kids nowadays, man.
I know, totally rude. You know, Girl Scout charged me $15 for a box of cookies this morning.
Wait, it's Girl Scout cookie season?
Apparently.
Damn it, I gotta get on that.
So you guys are walking to the supply closet.
Right, me with my dripping orange juice.
And you're just leaving a trail.
I'm leaving a trail of
sticky orange Julius.
Now we should have it as a hand scanner, so he tries to do it and his hand gets stuck and it's not reading his head.
And, I think it's hilarious that I'm leaving a trail.
And there's a little like alcove that the door is in, and you open it and instead of a supply closet, it's a hallway. Like the well, it's a supply closet on either side, but the back of the supply closet is open.
Okay.
And there's just a hallway.
Mm. Do we have like a Get Smart type?
That's exactly what I was picturing too.
Well, let's say you walk into the hallway, and yeah, let's just do that. There's the door closes behind you, and there's a big vault in front of you, and the vault rolls out of the way, and there's a staircase, and you walk down the staircase, and there's just
revolving door.
There's interlocking teeth that just. The two doors just go up. One goes up and one goes down.
Well, that's impressive.
There's a little recorded message. Watch your step.
you walk through those gates, and there's a revolving door.
Actually, it tells him to watch his step by name. Watch your step, Mr. I don't write down.
Watch your step, Mr. Wright. Watch your step, Mr. Nichols. And there's a revolving door that you walk through. And on the other side of the revolving door, there's a conveyor belt that leads to an escalator going down.
Can there be a robot that just sits there and points guns at them?
We both get sweeped by LIDAR beams.
Yeah. There are robots aiming guns at you. And when the light passes over you, it blinks green. It goes from white to green.
Alright.
And you get the uneasy feeling that if it blinked red, the robots would open fire.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't know. I suppose if we want, we could all just be waiting in there instead of having to.
I want to have a bit of a scene with the.
When you get to the bottom, there's one more door. It's just a big red door.
It's a big red door.
It says keep out.
At the end of a long hall.
It says keep out.
You're going the wrong way.
How do you go wrong way down a one-way hall?
Could you get the door? My hand's a little sticky.
All right. So with one hand, because my other hand's on my cup by my crotch, icing it.
Okay. So you open the door.
Did you pull a muscle or something?
No, my freaking message exploded on my crotch.
Oh. Ouch.
Yes, ouch.
At least you have to pay $15 for a box of cookies.
All right, so we'll cut it at that line, and then we'll cut to...
We both get burned today.
Back to the Orange Julius stand.
Who's next?
I'll go. So Colin walks out of a nearby jewelry store, and networking as always, and walks over to the counter, and says, and he's not looking, and then he goes, "Hi, I would like to. Hey, you're new here, aren't you?"
Yes. What can I get you? Welcome to Orange Julius.
First and foremost, are you 18?
Gosh, what a question.
I'm 16.
Very well. I would like a large Orange Julius for my Aunt Gladys.
I was really hoping you weren't going to be one of them. I'm not giving you a drink, just go.
I was hoping you were going to be 18.
I'm very disappointed.
How old are you? You're 26.
Yeah.
God. And he's engaged.
You got to draw the line somewhere. Hey, that doesn't matter.
I know that doesn't. Hey, that just because there's a goalie in the net doesn't mean you can't score.
And so yeah, you walk over to the door.
There's a trail of orange juice.
There's a sticky trail of orange Julius.
And let's say, just for dramatic purposes, let's say that...
We're not going through all that again.
No. Let's say Will... You walk up behind Will, who's... Or what's his name? Mike. Who's...
I'm texting.
Who's texting and just sloshing through up the Orange Julius to the door.
I look around and see if I can see a custodian or a janitor anywhere in the vicinity.
Yeah, you see.
I have an idea too.
You go into the custodian closet. You could just grab a mop out of there.
No. I wouldn't, but I'd make sure someone else gets on that.
You see cleaning a window of across the street of a across the hall of a Gap.
Okay.
He's
you mean the Hap?
Yes, the Hap.
Yeah.
He's a short guy, long brown beard, looks kind of like a biker dude.
Okay.
Tattoos on his arms.
Long
hair.
I walk over.
How much like me does he look?
No, he looks like that janitor from the high school whose name I don't remember.
Oh, high school janitor. We'll call him Al.
Oh, our high school?
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right?
I know exactly what you're talking about. I don't remember his name for the life of me. He's a fun guy, though.
Yeah.
He's a fun guy.
That guy was hilarious. All
right. He's spraying the windows and wiping them down.
Hey, boss. I got something to tell you.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm sure you care about the safety of the people and the cleanliness of your establishment here. There is a serious line of spilled, I think it's Orange Julius. I really can't tell. I didn't get down and really, test it out. But someone's going to slip and fall or make a big mess of themselves. I mean, it is easily 30 yards long. I don't understand what happened.
Somebody probably spilled Orange Julius.
Right. No. And a man like you, who is astute and does this job for a reason, I'm sure would be happy to go and take care of that.
Sure. All right. He stands up and grabs his mop bucket and starts wheeling over to the Orange Julius.
Thank you, sir. And I think I was going to our bill and I tip him.
Oh. Oh, and I'm going to start being nice to you, man.
Good.
I'm just picturing he mops up all the way down to the machine guns and then gets gunned down.
So
he's somehow he got all the way down there and the droids get...
He stands next to the janitorial closet that you have to go to and starts
unauthorized.
Alright.
What are you going in there for, man?
Well, this is a supply closet, right?
Yeah.
I need some supplies.
Oh, aren't you like a customer?
No, see, that's the thing. I'm in the business of customer service, and I'm just here to help make sure that everything is taken care of.
Make me
a social or a sly?
A social. A social or sly, whichever one's better.
Probably social's better. 12.
12. All right, whatever, man. I'm just going to mop the floor. You supply it up, dude.
Hey, no problem. I'm just, you were doing a bang-up job.
I don't get thanked enough. I don't get thanked nearly enough, man. Up here. Bam! He gives you a high five.
We in the service there, in the service jobs, we have to stick together.
And he starts singing Iron Man as he's...
Is he...
You can't do it, though. No. You can't sing it. We have to pay rates for that. You can't do it.
You get, what is it, 7.5
seconds? 7.5 seconds? I can't trust Will. We'll cut off at 7.5 seconds.
His name is Iron Man.
And about this time, Will.
Iron Man.
The mop hits your feet, and the guy's like, I'm kind of trying to mop here. Can you,
You're blocking the Orange Julius.
Move.
His name is Tony Starkey.
Move out of the way.
Iron Man.
I just kind of...
Did you just push him aside, or you stood aside? Which the hand motion means
man,
you pushed him aside.
I kind of pushed him aside.
Whoa, hands off, brother.
I'm just texting.
And I just...
Walk into the closet? Right in front of him?
All right. He flips you off. He just keeps mopping.
Douche.
I was gonna order an Orange Julius.
He's an Iron Man.
I was told that
made
I was
of iron.
Yeah, yeah, I'm just gonna say you already ordered
Iron Man.
I was gonna order a medium and order a large, and then take the medium and go. All
right, so you bump into
Colin.
Oh, yeah, I walk in.
Like, literally, yeah.
Oh. 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 Oh, sorry.
I see you have a large Orange Julius.
It's actually a medium.
It's a large, Will.
Why you gotta change things?
Just yes and.
Yes.
Yes.
And?
I knew that would make you come in.
And are you going to the mall later? No,
it's for my anglatis.
Ah, very well. This way.
All right, so
he's holding back from punching you right in the face.
Yes. And.
Alright.
Now there's two more to head to the door.
So you walk into the closet. Do the two of you want to already be there? Or
yeah,
do you
I was going to say I could already be sitting at the table or whatever.
Do you have a desire to have an Orange Julius scene, or do you want to just be there?
I can't think of anything clever. Okay. So I'm just going to... I'll just say I'll be there. But I got a bag of new shoes and a new keyboard, and I'm talking to people about...
So you open the door, and then let's just say it cuts to the hallway leading up to the red door.
Okay.
And you walk up to the red door and open it, and sitting there are these jabronis.
I'm telling you guys, they should put a warning on that, just like kind of countdown, and it explodes everywhere.
Well, what did you think the countdown actually led to?
I don't know, man.
I don't know, man. I was hot.
Yeah, I was hot, man.
You didn't even get to it. Did he even get to take a drag?
I had one drag. I wasn't that high.
Does anybody know, is this water cooler for everybody, or can we just...
Are you going to steal it?
No, I'm going to take some water.
How much water?
A cupful.
Maybe you could clean the Orange Julius off yourself with it.
Yeah, I kind of need...
Whoa. You're the reason why there was a 30-yard line of Orange Julius upstairs?
He already went through the story with us. Apparently, the girl behind the counter is a bitch.
Well,
all right, perfectly nice.
First and foremost, she's jailbait. Don't mess with it. Second...
What?
I didn't even check.
16.
Why would I even go for it? She was a bitch.
Here's the thing. You maybe don't want to draw, I don't know, a giant line to this little area.
So I was wondering what actually that was. You know, the sticky sensation walking down. I thought it was part of, like, their new identity scan.
Ah, yeah. Okay, possibly, but I don't think so.
I don't know. They made me buy new shoes, and I have to give them this receipt for this keyboard because I had to buy a new keyboard because of them.
You know,
I had to spend $15 on a box.
Did you keep the receipt?
All right.
You know what's the best part about this? I made $50. So, okay, let's go ahead.
What?
I just sit down.
Thank you. You mind?
So you guys are all sitting.
I had to buy shit, too.
You guys are sitting in a massive white room.
With black curtains?
Yes.
Okay.
And there's a conference table that you're all sitting around.
My feet are up on.
Potted plant in the corner.
There is a puddle of Orange Julius.
Yeah.
Is there a potted plant?
Yes, there's a potted plant.
There's only an 8-bit.
In the center of the table is a model of Paradise Cove.
Nice.
A full-scale model of Paradise Cove.
Is it holographic, or is it an actual model?
It's an actual model.
Okay.
In that case,
I have no interest in it.
Addison has been admiring it the whole time.
Actually, is there a train, a model train on there?
Yes.
Then I'm also enthralled.
it's a working model, essentially.
Yeah.
So, like, the train from the train station goes around the model. Like, the track actually goes where the track goes. And the train is going around the model.
This thing is beautiful, though, ain't it?
Very detailed. HO scale.
Yeah.
It needs more interactive buttons.
No way, man. This train only needs to go where the tracks are. On and off.
The traffic lights actually change color.
Look at that. It's wired masterfully.
It's real time? It wouldn't be that hard.
I mean, the organization does have access to that data. Maybe they're pulling it right from the street lamps.
You take out a stopwatch and start to stop.
Let's see what time the train pulls into the station.
There is an actual working clock.
It's unbelievable. My message only explodes.
It is a working...
Gentlemen, I'm sure that you are really enjoying yourself with this model, but I'm sure we're not here for this.
Quite right, Colin. Quite right, Mr. Hamilton. The voice comes from everywhere.
Oh, man, he has surround sound in here as well? Man, these guys get all the good stuff.
It's a nice setup.
Ta-ding!
Maurice, shut up!
Where's my
well,
pants?
Now that you've had time to get acquainted with each other, welcome to the organization.
Ta-ding!
So who do I give this
and
receipt
then
to for a new keyboard?
We'll go to our first commercial so that we can come up with together, let's come up with what the mission is.
Okay. Oh, so are we pausing for that, or are we actually
no,
doing
we,
it
we
on
can,
record?
Yeah, we can do
well,
that
we could actually do a commercial if we wanted to.
We pause it, actually play a commercial, and then
so the mission would frame somebody.
So that
was, yeah, we got that.
So that was Act 1. Right.
That was easy.
So Act 2 is going to be the mission, and so your mission is to frame somebody. Your complication is that you'll be twin. There'll be twins involved.
Oh, no.
And your antagonist is a scientist.
I feel that, since we have twins, two sets of twins. One of them should be involved in this.
Mm-hmm. Probably Freddy and Teddy.
I would think so.
They're the cooler twins.
Right.
More arson.
So we want to frame someone else for arson?
Well, I think since
they're Meyer's kids, why don't we just say that Meyer has to watch them?
They're in the food court right now.
I like that. So, Fred and Ted are in the food court.
Brought you guys with them.
You're like,
we just snuck into the McDonald's and deep frying things. I was like, honey, I need to go to Staples.
At some point, Johnny needs to drop the bomb on the troop that his kids are in the food court, and he needs to bring them with him on the mission.
That's a complicated one I've ever heard.
Yeah,
one.
Sounds complicated.
How about the scientist is doing stem cell research since Ed doesn't like Hot Topic buttons?
Yeah.
he's big on Obamacare? Is that what you're saying? Did he have anything to do with...
How outlandish do we want
to
go?
Did he have anything to do with Ukrainian separation?
We could be outlandish.
He's making clones with stem cells.
He's like doing like a thing from Splice.
That movie was weird.
Especially the sex scene.
Sure,
it
had
that was the weird part.
I didn't see that
reverse. When he starts fucking,
so are
it,
you
like,
are
oh,
you going to be framing the scientist? Are you framing the scientist, or
if he's the antagonist? I think so.
Attack each other.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe we need
you
to frame him to discredit him.
James.
Okay.
He's trying to build a super army of with stem cell research.
Well, you know, he doesn't necessarily have to be. You don't.
Doesn't have to be villainous.
He's trying to turn himself into a lizard man.
You don't necessarily even have to know what he's doing, just that he's an enemy of the organization.
Right, whoever they are.
That could be revealed later as time goes by.
Right. We don't know necessarily that the organization is benign or, you know, affiliated with any polity or political group.
Right.
Or...
Right now, all you know is that the organization wants you to frame this scientist.
We're an offshoot of the Green Party.
So what do they want you to frame the scientist for? Discredit him?
With a
Green
Party. Well, I would frame him for something to discredit him.
Right. Maybe we have to frame him for committing academic fraud. For stealing results so that we discredit all of his future research.
Or for,
he could be caught with a 16-year-old girl, but I'm just saying. Because I happen to know where one is right now, and she's in on it.
You are just stuck on her, aren't you?
No.
We could have it that all of his doctorates were forged and from phony schools. Okay.
Or things like money laundering, that video game that people, all the kids play now, the pig.
The Whack of War?
Yeah.
The Whack of War with their famous, what the hell were
pigs
they?
Pigs on.
The boar pigs. The boar pigs.
Right,
we
so
should
we have
came up with a name for that damn game.
All right, so we have... We're saying the scientist is doing is not important at this point in time. We're just
not necessarily.
We just gotta discredit him and find out.
It's not necessarily important, but
right.
It doesn't mean we can't say what it is either, right?
Right?
Dead air.
Maybe
he's.
Yeah.
Maybe,
he's
maybe
next time we'll come up with this all
beforehand.
That's
fine. No, I think for the sake of argument, we're on. You know, we basically have a very simple guideline.
Mm-hmm.
We know we have a scientist who is opposite of the organization.
Right.
The best way to remove him is to discredit him and embarrass him in the scientific community.
Mm-hmm. Frame him. Right.
And so we have, so the best way.
Maybe he's gonna have like he's gonna be presenting his work.
Right, and we could set it up that he stole his work from someone else.
Or we could set it up to fail miserably.
Yeah.
Either one, or both.
I think sabotage is
sabotage
is different than framing.
Yeah.
Right. So it's, yeah.
Cool. Well, we could.
If you blow something up and then put his name on it, we frame it.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. If we cause some sort of a problem and put his name on it, we framed him for doing it.
He's got some device to show off to someone he's trying to sell to the
right.
He's trying to sell a device to a rival company, organization to ours. And what we could do is put like a little bomb in it and frame him as being, you know, trying to sell them a bomb and then blow them up.
What if we say he's a Nazi? Everyone hates Nazis.
He's a Nazi scientist.
What are we, 46?
He did experiments on
everyone
people.
Hates Nazis.
He's one of the boys from Brazil.
You could frame him for him.
Like, what if, like, there's one of his prisoners has a big swastika and then a whole bunch of Hitler pictures? It's like,
okay. Well,
maybe he's doing, like, a presentation on, you know, whatever his thing is, and instead he just. He starts his slideshow and it's just like Nazi stuff.
Nazi paraphernalia.
Yeah.
It's just all pro-Nazi stuff.
He keeps going frame by frame. It's all just
he keeps going faster and it just takes to become stop motion of somebody doing the hail and
it's like, oh god.
It starts out eugenics and you.
Hail, Smoochie.
Okay.
Smoochie. It's a white race.
Are we settling on that?
Framing him as a Nazi, I like it.
All right, so
we send it to a Nazi rally.
There's there's a scientific conference at Paradise University.
That's framed.
Right.
Yeah.
At PU. And the goal is to discredit him by everyone believe he is a Nazi.
He's a Nazi, yes.
I mean, that wouldn't discredit how smart he is. That would just make him look bad as a person. But
yeah, no one wants to do business with him.
There are some people that would do business with him. At the same time,
we throw Chris's idea into it, and we sabotage it at the same time. So not only is he a Nazi, but he's also a Nazi with equipment that doesn't work.
Well, he wanted to blow them up. I wanted to make it not work.
All right.
We frame him for trying to blow them up.
Okay, yeah. We just need the bare bones. Those details can be worked out in-game.
Okay.
All right, so we come back from commercial.
That was a very short commercial.
Yeah.
We were advertising Stopples and
Rodeo Shack.
That's where I bought my keyboard at, Rodeo Shack.
Ah.
Where I'm trying to give the receipt to one of these guys here because they owe me a new keyboard. So you guys gonna pay for this?
And you know what? They probably owe our friend here a new pair of pants
and maybe topical cream for his crotch. That is
all
right. So let's get. So we come back from commercial.
I'm glad you all could make it. It's good to talk to you again, Mr. Hamilton.
I don't think we...
Good to see you.
It's just his voice.
Good to hear you.
I don't think we ever talked.
Well, honestly. I never talked to you. I talked to Mr. Hamilton this morning. Mm. We had a very fine conversation.
You're a teacher's pet.
You have a very nice hat.
By the way, the zoo was fantastic.
I'm not lying. I know my job, and I know this town, and I'm telling you, it's a fantastic place.
I'm jealous. I wanted to go to the zoo today.
Wait, there's a zoo?
The Paradise Cove Bombers play in the next week. They're on the road right now, but they come back home next week. They're probably one of the finest ballparks you've ever seen.
Oh, thank you.
I want to see the pandas.
Mr. Nichols.
Pandas just sleep all day.
Might I suggest you go look in the drawer over in the corner?
All right.
You might want to change your pants.
I changed my pants. I'm not walking around with pants.
Yeah, that would be kind of silly.
It's all over the front of it.
He says, look in the drawer.
Why would I be wearing these pants?
There's a new pair of pants for you.
Oh, thank you.
You can bring those home, courtesy of the organization.
Yeah, you know, in the recent
game. A little warning
game,
next time, please, would be appreciated.
Are you?
There was a countdown.
That doesn't mean anything. A countdown could be anything.
How long was the countdown?
Like 5 seconds.
You should have given him 10.
Noted. Next time, you will have 10 seconds before the USB port detonates.
Are you reimbursing people? Because I had to pay $15 for a box of tag-alongs, and that is just exorbitant.
Perhaps
I also had to buy this keyboard. You guys made me break my old keyboard, so I need a new one.
Everybody's looking for their piece.
I wasn't going to bring it up, but if other people are getting reimbursed, that book was $14.99.
We'll discuss recompense at your debriefing.
By the way, the bombers have terrible stats in the recent game.
Well, you know, if you park on Summer Street, you can actually see right into the stadium without actually paying for a ticket.
It's $3. It might be wise for me to point out at this time that in about 10 minutes the room will begin to fill with poison.
Oh
gas.
My gosh.
How many minutes?
Ten minutes.
It's better than 5.
Okay, that's a countdown, all right? 10 whole minutes.
Yeah, so why are we here, mysterious voice. South African voice?
That's what it was.
Why are you filling the room with poisonous gas?
What if we're still in here?
Well, hopefully you won't be.
You have terrible customer service.
I'm telling you that you should shut up and listen to the mission briefing so you could be out of here in 10 minutes.
I already set the timer on my phone.
But you
if we're not
just
done
asked
in 5,
us to leave within 10 minutes. You didn't have to attempt to murder us.
And look at this guy. He's on his phone all the time. Not even doing anything.
5 minutes.
Oh.
That was not 5 minutes.
It's going... I lowered the countdown.
All right. What?
Stop antagonizing the voice.
I have a name. I'm not the voice. My name is Rathbone.
Stop antagonizing Mr. Rathbone. He's going to kill us all in 5 minutes.
Stop leaving before that goes off.
Now, at the hotel?
If you all value your lives, you will listen to me.
Oh, okay.
Oh, God, is the air getting stuffy in here, guys?
You might have heard of... What? Paradise University.
My old alma mater.
Good old PU.
I'm a PU alum.
Tomorrow, during the day, there is going to be a scientific meeting of minds, so to speak.
The PU
tomorrow.
Skunks. The PU Skunks, yeah.
The PU Skunks.
That's awesome.
The speaker is going to be a Dr. Rutger Stein.
They had great stats in the recent game.
He is going to be revealing one of his newest inventions in a seminar. Let's just call it a slideshow. We would like you to discredit Dr. Stein. Perhaps... hinting at his German heritage, that he was a Nazi might.
That's a bit racist.
Bring the wrath of the scientific community upon him.
Yeah, no one likes Nazis.
That's true. Exactly our thinking. You have about 12 hours to plant incriminating evidence on... Dr. Stein's computer, so that when he presents his slideshow tomorrow, he will be discredited.
Nazis are like the perfect bad guy.
Do you have a slideshow pre-made, or we have to make that up ourselves?
They're also the perfect mummies.
This is your
Nazi
job.
Nazi mummy games are amazing.
Okay.
So, if only we had a computer programmer in this group.
You will find that you all have sufficient skills to do the job.
Alright, so let's do the job.
Maybe we should leave now before the poison gas.
Yeah,
I'm all about that.
That would be advisable.
Also, my kids are in the thing and they're probably causing a lot of ruckus.
Excuse me, what?
Are your kids here?
I can't hire a babysitter.
Why not?
Because my wife gets upset.
Why can't the wife watch
the last one on fire?
Johnny, I know people, all right? I can get you a babysitter. It's not a problem.
They start fires.
Why couldn't your wife watch them?
She's working.
Listen, I left my elderly grandfather alone in my living room. And when I get back there, it's just not going to be pretty.
Listen.
Cut to...
We can be talking what is all day. Let's just now. This is what's happening. Let's just deal with it.
All right. Well, let's go talk about this somewhere that isn't about to fill up with poisonous gas. Because I'm
not going. Hey, guys, wait up.
We all bolt. All right.
Poor Ed. The few times he's flinched after I spoke up, I thought he was going to hit me.
And we'll cut the scene there. All right. So what do you think we should approach next?
Well, somebody's going to have to. Maybe we could do a montage of making the presentation that we're going to plan on him. It has to be sufficiently damning.
I was kind of thinking that maybe my character collects like war paraphernalia, like old. Like, people collect old Nazi things or whatever. Maybe he just so happens to have, like, in the basement of his cigar shop, just, like, a large catch of, like, old World War II paraphernalia and
all sorts of
weird Nazi stuff that he's used.
He's doing a presentation, right? So we could just, if I get a hold of his computer, just, you know, embed a file into it that when he starts presenting it, it'll just override what he has and just put in the Nazi stuff.
Right, but wouldn't it be even more convincing if he happened to have a
pin or something?
Like a pin or
stuff
like
in his jacket.
A Nazi flag just kind of folded up in his bag, like an authentic one, too.
He's going to give him an SS Death's Head pin.
Yeah, something like that.
To pin on his lapel.
Maybe in his locker there's a uniform.
Yeah.
A little thing that has like a couple of hairs and goes, actual mustache hair. The Fuhrer's mustache hair.
When they test it, it's actually a cat hair.
It's a certificate of authenticity.
Yeah.
All right, so if we're going to do it as a montage...
How does that work?
Basically, it's a... there's no interaction between the players... But
there's just montage music playing.
You simply narrate what's happening.
Okay.
So if you want, you guys can each contribute. If we want to do it round robin, maybe everybody can contribute an image or two. Like,
sure.
All right.
We'll go around maybe once or twice.
Can we roll to see like how effective the shit that we prepare?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
Well, it depends on what you like. If it depends on what you do, what your action is.
All right.
Well, obviously, with my set of skills, it's going to be getting the stuff onto the computer. So
let's start with.
I'll have to get us in to the to the room. To the, you know, where
so maybe we should figure out what each of our jobs are, and then go around the room and describe how we do.
What
our
about?
Jobs.
Well, how about this? How about I go to the university and I give him a complimentary room at the Arcadia Arms Hotel.
That's a good plan.
Okay, so we'll start with Derek. So, Derek, what's your vignette? In the montage.
We have to make you a complete soldier in very little time.
Well, I can. Copyright it.
You can't. No. 7 seconds. Alright, so I guess, well, you can have speech in montages, right? Not a lot, but a little bit.
But like a snippet of dialogue.
Yeah.
Like.
So basically,
like, no, you got to punch the bag here.
Right. So basically, my part of the scene would be walking up the steps of, I guess, a large university building.
It zooms in on you, then starts zooming out, and you get higher up the stairs.
Yeah, right. And then, you know, and then encountering. I guess it would make sense to encounter him on the stairs or find him. Like, is he maybe? He wouldn't be taking a class, so I guess maybe just go to an office.
You could go to the office.
So I go to the office, and I say, Dr. Stein, my name is Colin Hamilton. I'm a representative of the Arcadia Hotel, and because of your high standing, we would be happy to give you a complimentary room, in the hotel. plus two meals for the duration of your stay.
Okay, that's... yeah, and he just... That'll be the your vignette. Okay. All right. Who needs to do... Who's going to contribute next?
I'll go. Say we could... I don't know if someone wants to be with me, or I could just be by myself. They show me go behind the counter of my cigar shop, and there's like a little rug. I pull up the rug, and there's a basement kind of, you know, what do you call it, a loop?
Mm-hmm.
You pull up, and there's a trap door. And I go down, and there's another door with a padlock on it. I unlock the padlock, and I put it on the side, and then I use a door for the key, and I open it up, and it's just a room filled with all this...
No, you're good. I think that Johnny should be with you, and that Ted and Fred are going through all your shit.
I don't know that he would let them, because that's expensive.
Maybe they're going through. Maybe they're starting fires in the cigar shop.
Yeah, maybe they're upstairs making a ruckus.
That's fine. I
think this room, the secret room
fine.
In the basement, is his pride and joy. He's gonna let
them
among his kids.
And Johnny,
whatever the vignette is should end with. Smoke coming into the into the room that you're in, and you.
So the two of them are like pointing at different things, and then they settle on that one pin, the skull pin, and the two of them point, and give a thumbs up, and then all of a sudden smoke just starts filling.
And then Drew goes,
two of them run out with the pin,
start sniffing. They go running out of stairs.
I know where your pay's going.
All right, who's going to contribute next?
I guess I'll contribute next. I'll start off with after he gives him the room, he brings him out to. I guess you have like an area where you do the meals, right?
Yes.
And so that you bring him down to give him the meals. I go into the room. I start going through his thing, start embedding different files in between slides, and then putting in a code for that when he starts the. Going through the projections, all of a sudden more and more stuff will start popping up, and then a video will be playing, and it'll be showing him the Nazi scientists experimenting on people and stuff like that, and the doctors. It'll start going through all the horrific Nazi
eugenics and you.
Random Photoshopped images of the doctor and different things.
Yeah.
Staying next to Hitler.
Just a picture of him like on a horse rearing up and
right.
Holding the Nazi flag. Like Napoleon, but with a Nazi flag.
And him standing giving a speech to a bunch of young Nazi youths.
Photoshop.
Obviously,
Photoshop of him shaking Hitler's hand. Clearly a Photoshop that, made to look like he didn't know what he was doing and he just wanted it to look like he was with Hitler.
Pretty,
clearly
pretty,
too old, too young to have actually happened as well.
But pretty horrific stuff, making it look like him giving him a fanboy face, like he's super excited to see him. So that would be my montage, is me getting into the room when he leaves with Derek Stacker. What the hell is his name?
Colin?
Colin. When he leaves with Colin to go for the meals that I go in and play with his computer.
Okay. Alright.
I can't even think.
Meyer,
you drive me there. What does deft do? What's deft? The stuff of dexterity.
Yeah, it's physical stuff.
Physical stuff. I don't know.
Maybe you can slip into his room and put the computer back.
Or was it? He was trying to sell something. We decided, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you could get your two twin kids to rig up a little bomb.
Your thing is you're wrangling your kids and actually convincing them to make something that explodes.
And I think when whoever's the most deft will have to get something stashed on him, like bump into him and stick something in his pocket or something like that as he's walking into the conference.
Probably we have to plant the pin on him.
Yeah.
We have to plant the pin on him, the flag in his bag.
Right. So whoever's got that skill should do that.
Yeah, I gave myself deft.
So we give him a handkerchief
sure,
with a Nazi flag. Oh, excuse me.
Excuse me. He starts getting a little nervous.
My lowest skill, so.
I like that one.
I didn't know.
Because you, I gave myself death because I know you did charisma and Will was doing tight, which Will sort of did tough. And I know I some.
When I did sly.
I did sly as
all right,
well.
Good.
I'm the nerd.
That's good. I think I picked the right one then.
Yeah.
So I'll do death. I'll sneak it. I'll make my kids do a distraction, and then as he's doing, I kind of bump into him. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry, and I plant the
pin in the neckerchief
on him. Yeah. Like my
there you go.
Fred and Ted will go in there, they're like doing something, and then I'm like, oh god, I'm so sorry, Ian.
Okay, so roll deft.
You're ready.
Hey. Now, how does that work? He'd roll the
he
die
eight
twice,
two,
and then add
two
it?
Eights?
Yeah.
Two
yes.
Eights.
Let's see. Just out of curiosity, what would I have gotten?
Alright, I roll two eights, and then I add them up.
Very well.
I got a 10.
Yeah.
Alright.
11.
Not that great.
I got a
14.
10 plus is great.
Bloody brilliant.
Bloody
okay.
Brilliant, yeah. So
resounding success and might be harm to an enemy, information extracted and not being spotted, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you get the pin on him, and he keeps walking. He nods and he says, no problem, and waves at you.
It's
and
a terrible
German
accent.
No problem.
Not like my French accent any
can
better.
Can I use sly to start a rumor that Dr. Stein is a Nazi?
Okay, so maybe in this vignette,
it'll just be me like at the conference, just sort of hobnobbing. You know, that's
you're,
pretty
you're,
fascinating.
You're sitting.
Wow, you know what? This is an amazing idea for a Nazi.
Photoshop.
I mean,
maybe you're sitting with Mike to bring Mike into it, and he's on his phone, not paying attention, and you're like,
hey. I'm in. There are free hors d'oeuvres. I've just got like a plate full. That's a very promising area of research.
Speaking loudly.
I think it's a great idea. For a Nazi!
Alright, roll it.
Whoa. Shit. Five.
So, a five.
You know what? I will spend a cred
okay.
to bump it up from a bit of a balls up to can't complain.
Okay.
Using my phone, I post on a social media site saying some guy just yelled at the scientist, he's a Nazi.
Okay.
You post on the YouTube.
So, we'll say that this brings the montage to an end.
And that has, wait, the cred has to be some kind of a tangible benefit, right?
I'm telling you, you got that. Put one of the pictures we photoshopped.
Okay.
Of just him with an armband or something, just a Nazi armband, or he's doing the, you know, the.
It has to be something that the organization
provided us
with.
You
can make it up, but it has to be.
They could have provided us with a picture of him hiling.
I never need that. I mean, you.
You heard it from a good source, and
no, I think a photo.
Yeah, the phone is probably the way to go if you're trying to convince people that he's a Nazi.
I can upload
it. Well, he's basically
swear.
Talking to Will's character, Mike, who's not paying attention really. But
well, I'm talking. I'm at the.
Yeah,
I'm
but
the,
yeah, and you're
yeah.
talking out
well,
loud so that it's.
It seems like. What if they gave me some kind of. Psionic suggestion amplifier.
Okay.
So like I turn on this little device and it goes and everything I say sounds true.
Okay. So you say that and
it's like people hear every other word, but they definitely hear the doctor.
And you notice
Stein is
a Nazi.
You notice a distinguished looking man. He's wearing a tweed suit and. He's got a little beard. He sort of raises his eyebrow and turns to the man sitting next to him, who's a short, fat man with curly salt and pepper hair, and he says,
"Did he just say that Stein is a Nazi?"
And the other guy's like, "Oh, I knew it all along.
I was the first one to think he was a Nazi."
Well, maybe the guy he. Could be Will's character. He goes, hey, did you say he's a Nazi? Goes, oh yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm. Sure,
yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
Will is putting the word out there on social media.
He goes up to the PU message board and it's just like, oh man, I heard this talking about
kind of a student activist.
Do we have the
picture? Like it was sent to us at all or anything?
We could have gotten it from James.
We made a bunch of pictures. Yeah,
James. A bunch of pictures. Yeah.
Send me the pictures. You can put up pictures and I'll upload it.
Put up posters all over campus.
So, Ryan, let's say that that ends the montage, and as Addy is leaving the food court and walking, let's say you're walking to the lecture hall.
Right.
Where the...
I figure, like, it's an academic building with, like, trays of hors d'oeuvres set up.
Right.
And, like, a science conference today or whatever.
So you're going to cut through the courtyard to get to the lecture hall.
Right.
And as you're cutting through the courtyard, there's a man in a... there's a bald man in a turtleneck wearing black gloves sitting on a bench, and as you cut through the courtyard, he stands up and blocks your path.
That's my guy.
Excuse me, sir. I'm late for a very important conference.
I'm
kind of short and chubby.
Couldn't help but overhear your conversation in the cafeteria, in the conference room.
Oh, what about Dr. Stein being a Nazi? Yeah, you know, he's totally a raging Nazi.
he's a raging closet Nazi.
Very interesting theory. And where did you pick up such a theory?
Oh, I mean, there are posters that say it all over campus. It's all over the internet. I mean, I'm personally in a little bit of doubt myself, but I have a feeling that if he's going to clear his name, he's going to have to do it today at this conference, which is why I'm heading there right now, and I'm just basically trying to BS my way past him. Can I roll sly for that, or would that be social?
Social.
Okay.
Or you can do sly.
I was about to say, wouldn't sly fit that a little better?
Yeah, because I'm BFing. All right. Well, I rolled better on social, so I'm going with that. I rolled an 8.
Okay.
You can pick it up one if you want.
Make it exceptional. Yeah.
If you need to.
Well, I'm just kind of like, I gotta go, and I kind of try to push past him. Does he let me?
Yeah. Play? He lets you pass.
All right. So, what is the can't complain description again?
So, can't complain is you succeed, but in addition, there's a caveat.
Okay. So, I got past him, but I kind of let it drop that something is going to go on
Well, the first time you got can't complain, this guy is. This guy works for the opposition.
Right, I figured that.
So the caveat the first time you rolled a can't complain was that
he's short and chubby.
Was that this guy heard you?
Right.
Now this can't complain. You managed to talk your way past him, but you didn't convince him that like he knows you're bullshitting.
Okay.
He just didn't like. If you had failed, he would have attacked you.
Right.
But so you managed to get past him, but you let it drop that
something's going on at the presentation.
You see him eyeing you suspiciously.
So now we're going to have to. All right. So I walk into the presentation room, and I guess people are sort of milling around.
Mm-hmm.
Are everybody's there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess we'd all be there. All
right, I'm gonna sort of motion.
Yeah,
I'm gonna walk over to.
Freddy and Teddy have commandeered one of the cakes,
right.
And then just
he's in the corner eating cake.
It's
better for them to eat, because then at least they're not causing trouble. I know where they are.
Getting a lot of sugar, though.
What can you do?
But they might pass out from a food coma.
Up on the stage, a very studious-looking man in a, let's say he's in a corduroy suit.
With an SS Death's Head pinned on his lapel.
He's got leather elbow patches and really bad comb over, and he walks up to the microphone.
If we could all take our seats, Dr. Stein will be taking the stage shortly, so everybody find your seats and the presentation will begin. Thank you. And he walks off stage.
I guess I walk up to Scotty. Or no, I would go for Drew.
Drew, what's up?
I think we may have competition here. There's a big guy in a turtleneck tried to stop me on the way over.
A turtleneck?
I guess he followed me in, Ed.
Yeah, you look over and there's you see the guy. He's a very tall, thick man, bald. He's wearing a black turtleneck. Slate gray pants. He's got on black gloves. And he's leaning up against the wall.
You mean the big asshole with the turtleneck?
Yeah.
Man, that's nothing. Inconspicuous at all. Who the fuck wears a turtleneck in August?
You know, some countries actually, August is their winter.
Well, not here. It's 95 degrees. Listen.
He just asked.
Listen. I think he's on to us.
Why?
We have to take him out.
You sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Alright.
Listen, we can't draw attention to ourselves because we still have to let the presentation go on without a hitch.
Wait, Matt, I just want to just double check. By take out, you mean kill?
I guess so. I don't know.
Just going to knock him out and tie him up.
Oh, I mean, it could also be, you mean, I didn't think you want to, go out with him or anything.
No, I don't.
Okay.
Hey, I
notice they're talking, but I don't go over to them.
Can one of your kids spill a drink on him or something? They'll go to the bathroom to clean up, and I pull out my sap from underneath my head, and have a little accident.
They would probably enjoy doing that, actually.
Yeah.
You turn around to go find them, and they're gone.
Oh, where did
I like that. You turn around to find them, and they've scampered. They're gone.
Oh, where do they go? Excuse me, I gotta go find my kids.
The smoke, I'm sure.
The smoke.
And then you also turn around, and the guy is gone.
Where'd he go?
Where'd the twist? Oh, he's good. He's good.
I shouldn't be too hard to find with that stupid turtleneck.
He's good enough to hide.
How much time do you have before a couple minutes before they?
He's gonna take the stage in a couple of minutes and make a speech and then play a slide and then do a slideshow. So a speech probably be maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Slideshow is gonna be another 15 minutes, and then
I think the slideshow is gonna go a lot quicker than that.
Yeah.
But
let's see what time printed.
Ed, can I make a slide roll to sort of case the room and see if there's anybody else who looks like they might be suspicious or paying attention to us? Same time. 8, so can't complain.
Okay. You don't see that. I'll say, because I made the guy disappear, I'll say that was your. You notice that's when you notice that he's gone. Nobody else is.
What would I roll to because I'm not with them. I see them talking.
Yeah, I'm about to say I see them talking and huddling and looking very anxious. So I want to find out what's going on.
I want to look at the room as well and see if they're drawing attention to themselves. There's three people in the middle of the room talking.
You don't notice anybody else looking at you. You don't notice.
My character doesn't have that tack, so he walks over because he's concerned because they look very adamant.
Okay. But yeah, no, it doesn't look like to you, Ryan, there's anybody.
Okay. Guys, what's wrong? Why are you guys so...
My kids are secretive, dude.
Oh, where'd he go? No, wait. Listen, there's a guy with a turtleneck sweater. I know it sounds out of place in August.
That's really weird.
He seriously showed up wearing eternal life. Anyway, I think he's on to us, and he's going to try to... He's probably went backstage to warn Stein.
Maybe he...
We got to intercept him.
Do you guys want me to stay here? I'll go get my laptop and see if I can make sure that the projection still shows what it's supposed to show.
Can you kill the guy?
As a backup, let's do that.
Do you look at me?
I take out my phone and I. Who would have a phone in that group? I'm sure Cheap Ass here wouldn't have a phone. He'd have a phone, but he couldn't do group text.
It's a prepaid phone.
Phone.
The burner.
He's always on his phone. My phone's hacked, so I get extra minutes and better battery life.
I have a family plan, man.
Are you in the group? Everybody else? Are you just somewhere else on your phone?
He's still getting bothered by Maurice about his damn baguette. And his carton of cigarettes.
We're out of pickles now.
It's been 117 minutes. Where's my baguette?
Pickles, baguette, and mayonnaise.
So
you don't need to know why.
I text.
You do not ask.
I text
why.
You because
it's
I figured
172 minutes.
I just text, and all I do in text is say, "You need me to do something," and like. What?
I just send you an update. His kid's missing. We're being stalked by a guy in a black turtleneck, and he's gonna. We need someone to find him and run interference while I make sure the projection goes off without a hitch.
This is international time for texting. I will go backstage.
Listen, mon ami, I know I asked for only one baguette, but now I need 19. Don't ask why.
I need 19 baguettes, and I need 375. Don't ask why.
He's the greatest character in the world.
My secondary character is better than
anyone else can play at any point in time. It's genius.
All right. So, Derek, you're going to go backstage?
Yeah. We're way backstage.
All right.
Weird character.
Maurice.
So
Maurice is actually back there right now.
He's hitting
on the I came to the university. I look for you. You didn't come home with the baguettes.
So you get up and you start to head backstage.
Mm-hmm. He's like one of the tech crews, like behind the scenes.
And
he's still smoking the same cigarette from this morning.
As you open the door to the backstage, you see. Standing with his back to the curtain is a man. He's wearing a very, very nice suit.
It's Hugo Boss. Am I your man?
He's got a. Got that horseshoe balding thing going on. Big thick glasses.
He's dead.
You recognize him as the picture. It's Dr. Stein.
Okay.
And he's just has his back to the... He's looking at you. And he has his back to the curtain.
Dr. Stein. Dr. Stein.
He falls forward.
Mm-hmm.
Dead.
That's what I thought was
I saw that.
With a and he's got a big red mark on his back.
He was a Nazi.
And you see, there's a little slit in the curtain where he was leaning up against. And you hear footsteps.
Nice. Yeah, I'm going to follow the footsteps. I'm going to say I'm going to grab my phone real fast, and just text 911. 911, send.
Group message?
I'm gonna pursue.
Okay.
Is it one of my kids?
Well, do we see him run, out the curtain?
So where are you running?
I'm gonna try to hear where the footsteps are coming from.
They're going for deeper backstage.
Alright, so I'll go deeper backstage. Right.
So you chase him backstage, and you see up at the top of the ladder is the man who you assume the bald man in the turtleneck, and he is ushering two redheaded boys up the ladder onto the catwalk.
Oh, boys!
Okay.
And he's got a gun, and
turtleneck's got a gun.
All right, that's fine.
So, alright, so I speak up and go, "There you are! Sir, thank you very much. Thank you so much for finding them."
These he boys whips around and takes a shot at you.
Okay.
Well, that's one way to handle.
Well, can't dodge. What do I do? Dodge?
You can dodge.
Deft. It's a
depth.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm done for.
Dodge!
All right, hold on.
Yeah, I'm deft, so I'm good. Zoo.
4, 5.
I didn't
critically fail, so I'm happy with that. With 4 set of dice, it's very easy to do.
I'm not sly. That's the my 4. It's like, I don't really
care. I'm not social.
I'm social because I work at a
prime service,
but I'm not sly. I'm not like a lying kind of.
All right. So you get shot in the shoulder.
That's fair.
And
I wasn't prepared for that. So
you get
fun.
Shot in the shoulder, mm-hmm. And
does he have a suppressor on the gun, or is it just an actual gunshot?
No. What is the stress roll again?
It's silenced.
Oh, okay.
You roll a d6.
One d6.
If you roll under one, under your current stress, you gain.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. My current stress is 1, but we'll try. 4.
Okay, so you gain 1 stress.
Okay.
I think actually, technically, your first stress you can't not.
Yeah, it's impossible.
You can't run under 1.
Right.
You can't roll under 1.
Right.
Well, you said one. The number are under.
Did I say that?
No, it's okay. You can't roll under 1.
Well, regardless. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. So, okay.
Okay, so you, let me just double check that.
Hey, Will, can I
if they roll, yeah, okay, if you roll equal to or less, so yeah,
okay.
If you roll
right.
The 1, you do.
If you roll
that's
the 1,
fine.
You
that's
fine.
That's okay.
All right, so you get shot and fall down on your ass.
Fair enough.
And the guy just keeps moving.
It's your favorite movie.
No.
Okay.
He's on the catwalk with the twins.
I'd rather watch my little pony.
Whoa. Can you take his little turn on the catwalk?
Yeah.
I
get a text back.
My little pony.
Where are you?
My little pony version of
Twilight. So I'm watching as I'm reacting.
Watch that?
Backstage, bleeding. He's got the boys, and then I go to stand up again, but I'm trying to like keep myself away from the gun now. Is there like? I mean, I'm assuming it's a hallway. There's not much I can avoid the gun, right?
Say that again?
So he's backstage.
Yeah.
So is there a place I can, like, find cover? Or no?
Well, I mean, he's not shooting at you anymore.
No, but if I stand up and get moving, he'll probably shoot at me again.
He's, from what you saw, he climbed up the catwalk and kept going.
Okay.
So you can attempt to climb. You can attempt to climb the catwalk.
I will attempt to climb a catwalk with a bad shoulder. And yeah, okay. Let's give it a shot.
Okay.
Would that be tough or slow or deft again?
Let's make it tough.
All right.
I gotta be the hero, man. Those are my kids. I gotta see them. That is coming.
5.
And they're directly your kids too.
Which,
so
again, which would make sense considering I have a bum shoulder.
Okay. So
she would.
Those are my progeny. Well, she married him out of necessity. Like, she tolerates him.
As
she doesn't hate him.
She like,
as long as I avoid 2, I'm good.
Comfortable.
Besides, those were his kids from the previous. But they're his kids, which is why she wouldn't care too much if something happened.
You don't know. She might like them.
She'd probably care a little bit. Actually, you know what?
Why are you making my wife to a heartless biatch?
Wow.
You know what?
Speaking of how pretty and petty,
you
rolled a 5.
Maybe
five.
She wouldn't care that much if they disappeared.
So, yeah. Let's say
maybe they're only good for her.
I don't climb very well.
Maybe.
Yeah. You you're pulling yourself up. He's gonna get away. He's gonna get pretty far away from you though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can get to the top, but he's gonna get pretty far away from you.
That's fair.
Let's cut to the outside and your front stage, and you guys get a text from him that he's bleeding.
He has the backstage bleeding.
He has the boys.
So this is in the house where you guys are, and you get backstage bleeding. He has the boys.
My boys.
All right, I take off,
and I run in for my boys. My boys.
Sounds like the three of us are running through the.
I take off and I.
Okay, so you get up. And you jump up on stage, and now people are starting to notice you. And the man with the comb over turns to you and says, "Excuse me, sir, you can't go back there."
Can you just run around him?
Yeah.
All right, that's what I'll do.
All right, so you just push past him to the curtain.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, bloody hell, and he reaches over to the podium and grabs the walkie-talkie. And
can I, as I'm walking past right after that, grab the walkie-talkie from him?
All right, make a deft check.
A deft check. Let me try that. Oh, goddammit, 5.
You can spend your credit.
Well, yeah, I might. What if it's a 5? That's a bad thing, right?
No, it's not. It's
5
not.
Is a bit of a balls up.
Right.
Yeah, I'll spend 1.
So that would knock it up to can't complain.
Can I try using my laptop to get into the school security system to see if I can see in the cameras where the guy's going? With
okay,
the
I'll get to you in a second. So yeah, so you grab the thing, you grab the walkie-talkie and push past him. And,
I grab the walkie-talkie and spike it into the ground.
And the guy falls off the stage and he cracks his hip.
Ha! That's what you get for being a guy.
That's what you get for being a guy. That's it right there.
Mm-hmm. And you guys are backstage. What are you doing, Addison?
I don't know what I can do at this point. You know what? I'm going to use my sly and make a, you know, try to get everybody...
calming down?
Yeah, keep everybody calm. I'm going to make an excuse and say that... what's his face? Dr. Stein can't be with us, unfortunately, but he sent ahead his presentation. Do we want the presentation to go on as planned?
Yeah. Well, he wouldn't because he'd be giving a speech, but...
He's a dead Nazi.
But he can still play the slideshow.
Right. Okay, well, in that...
We're going to frame a dead man.
Yeah,
well... Well, it's our mission.
We don't have to, but...
We do have to frame.
Our mission is to frame him, so he could say that he sent us over his laptop to put on the show.
So I'm gonna improvise a little speech,
okay,
and say I'm a very good friend of Dr. Stein's. He sent me over, and he asked me to make his speech. Clothing.
Maybe you shouldn't say you're a friend.
You're an associate of the
I'm a colleague at the university. He sent over his speech. We're gonna make sure that you get to see the slideshow on time.
Very good friend of the Nazi. Oh,
we've got a very good presentation. I think I haven't seen it yet, but I'm sure that it'll be wonderful.
All right, so make a slide check.
12.
Hey, there you go.
All right,
impale.
The man on the floor didn't break his hip after all. He stands up and dusts himself off. Well, I suppose that's what we're here for. I suppose you'll be making the presentation for Rutger. Go right ahead.
Rutger, who is Rutger? I'm here for Dr. Stein.
All right. Well, hit it. And I look over through the crowd at James and...
All right, so...
Gosh.
Scotty hits play, and the presentation starts to play.
It starts normally, and then there's, like, subtle... pictures, and then all of a sudden they just start... It's normal, then subtle, then normal.
Like, was that right? So Nazi Germany?
The way we'll frame the scenes, the projector screen comes down, and the curtain opens... And this is all happening behind the projector screen, so you could see a reverse image of what's going on.
Oh, gosh.
So the presentation's going on, and you can hear, you know, it's Dr. Stein talking about his latest invention and how it's going to change the world and revolutionize the industry.
And here are some images.
And then
show you how
and then, then all of a sudden an image flashes and you hear gasps. So this is all happening in the background of,
like...
It starts very slowly.
Ideas like those of other visionaries. Thomas Edison, Thomas Jefferson,
Adolf Hitler.
So this is all happening in the background of the conflict that's about to happen. So
there's a very subtle soundtrack, and it's Wagner.
So you're gonna climb the catwalk.
Yeah.
All right. So you're not shot, so you can just climb.
Yeah. You'll climb faster than I am.
I'm gonna try to parkour to get there fast.
All right. Three, and you do have to roll.
Pursuit of the guy. Oh,
yeah.
Four. Actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
I'm not moving so quick right now.
Alright, I'll do it. I'll parkour it. I'll fucking parkour it off the fucking butt. 8. Damn it.
Well, 8 is not necessarily parkour, but it's not falling on your face.
8. Alright, so you get up to the top.
Yeah.
And,
you do stoner parkour.
And the man is standing there, and he has...
Escalator?
He has, Ted is on his knees, and he has a gun to Ted's head, and he has one arm out over the catwalk, and he's holding Fred by the throat, dangling over the catwalk. Take another step, and they're both dead.
Should have thought this went through.
This is why you don't bring your kids to spy activities.
What's going on here?
Can I position myself?
What's your end game?
Under Ted, I mean Fred, whichever one he's holding over.
What?
Inside, can I position myself underneath the one?
I was going to ask that question.
Okay. Sure.
Honestly, what's your end game here?
All right. So yeah. So one of you. So one of you positions yourself under Fred.
Side by side. Right?
The organization wants to discredit Dr. Stein. The people I represent would rather see Dr. Stein dead than to have his work discredited like this.
Well, now we're both gonna get what we want, I guess.
No, because you are going to say it was all a prank. And then Dr. Stein is going to look like a victim. And then his work is going to be the talk of the town.
I'd rather... You shoot me.
I'm not going to shoot you.
That's unfortunate.
Can I shoot him? He's going to drop the kid.
I'll catch him.
All right, so make a...
I'm a
skeet shooter. I don't carry a gun. Maybe we should do that in the future, figure that out. This whole spy thing, maybe we should have a gun.
I have a sack. I don't want to keep my gun around my children.
No, I'm just walking around with my mouth, hoping that's going to get me out of trouble. Obviously, got me into it today.
Make a deft check to get a bead on him.
It's 2 dice, right?
Mm-hmm.
8.
8.
Use it
again. Using credit.
They gave you a goggles that helps you with your accuracy.
That's a laser. If there's a time to use it, this is the time to use it.
Yeah.
You bump that up to.
You're going
to
bump it up?
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out what it
is. So you bump it up. You got a laser guided. So you've got a shot. There's a nice little. The catwalk is graded. There's a nice little path right to the back of his head. Chris, you're gonna make it. You have to make a deft check to.
Okay, should I do that now?
Yeah.
Prepare to catch.
7.
Oh God!
What is that one?
7.
Can I make a deft try to catch him?
7 is can't complain.
Can't complain. Yeah. That's fine. I can't complain. That's fine. I'll catch the kid.
7's not bad, Billy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my goddamn kid.
It's fine. It's me.
All right.
He goes to catch the kid, but the kid falls on him awkwardly, so he gets hurt, not the kid.
Okay. Yeah, probably.
Or both of us
probably get hurt a little bit.
So he's holding him out, and he says, I'm not going to shoot you.
No. That's unfortunate.
I'm going to shoot him and then let him go. Okay. What are they doing? Do you guys want to...
And just in that moment?
I think you should... Oh, I'm not going to shoot him. That's unfortunate. Pow!
Well...
Dad, Dad.
Can I say that's unfortunate?
Do you have...
well, that's unfortunate.
Dad, you can have this, and we will not do anything wrong for forever.
Okay, I want you kids to give back your daughter. I want... You give back Missy's diary. And then I'll save your life.
Fine, fine.
We burned it.
We didn't burn it. Tell
me anymore. We burned it.
Oh, my.
I like it ending there. You give back Missy's diary. Fine. And I'll save your life. Fine, we will. And then Fred is dropped.
Uh-oh.
And the guy falls forward, drops his gun, and falls forward
he
dead.
Says we burned it, and then you dropped.
Daddy!
Chris, roll, make a stress test.
Just one six-sided die?
Yeah.
Five.
Okay. So you catch him, so the, you got, can't complain, right?
Yeah.
So you catch him, and he's okay, but you take a stress.
Sure. Because he landed on
you. Because he lands on you, and, and, you know, basically crushes you.
Yeah, we both get a couple bruises, yeah. I would assume.
His heel landed to happen to your friend.
And you catch him, and he's crying, and he's just hugging you, even though he doesn't know who you are.
I swear, I'll give back the book!
And,
I don't know what book you're talking about, kid.
Just as Deutschland Uber Alles is swelling the background.
That's a sin night picture you've ever seen.
And that's we'll cut the scene there.
Yay.
As the audience just sits dumbfounded in shock and stunned silence.
The audience actually sat through the whole thing. Yes. Most people left.
Oh no, they're booing. They're all, you know, booing him.
Now I understand why I should never bring my kids to a secret spy thing.
So that scene ends, and
there's drinks and hitting the screen.
The camera pulls back and cuts to an all-purpose room at a at a YMCA.
Next time I'm hiring a babysitter. It's official.
Hold on 1 second.
Deutschland, Deutschland,
Deutschland. I think you'd be telling your kids don't tell anybody about this.
Yeah, they won't believe her.
So you're in an all-purpose room at a YMCA, and
can we say that after their experience, Freddie and Teddy are both like, that was so awesome.
Yeah.
Freddie and Teddy aren't there right now, but it's you six.
They were not traumatized.
Yeah. No.
Not even a little.
It's the six of you in folding chairs, and
at least I got the diary.
At the other end of the room is you recognize Mel. He's sitting there.
The deal.
He's wearing a blue a blue button down shirt with a Argyle sweater vest over it.
Gargoyle.
That was your defense.
He's got an Argyle sweater vest and
finish reading you.
And he's got corduroy pants on, black shoes, and
which one was Mel again?
Mel was the guy at the mail station, the mail post office. So this is your group therapy session. So in the group therapy session, it's part of the mission debrief.
Mm-hmm.
It's part performance evaluation, part indoctrination for future missions, and part stress management. So all player characters are included in the scene. And so this is just going to be interactions between the characters, but Mel is sort of the guide, and he's going to debrief you.
Okay.
So he's sitting there. That was all around very successful.
We did.
Very successful. There's people are dead. His kids were traumatized.
I got shot.
He got shot.
My teeth. Honestly, my kids are okay. It happens to them every day.
What, yeah. Your kids get kidnapped every day and have their life
threatened?
That's
those goggles, by the way.
Not every day, I guess, but more times than you.
I got shot.
All right.
Well, now you have a scar. Chick stick scars.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
The point is, the mission was a resounding success. Not only did you discredit the good doctor, but he's also dead.
Well, we didn't kill.
We did not have much to do with
that. That was the other team.
It doesn't matter how it got done.
Yeah, we should have probably taken credit for that.
But no, I was saying, you know, I stopped myself. I was like, we had something to do with that.
No, it's always better to give the credit where credit's due.
And, Mr. What's your last name again? Will?
Goodman.
And Mr. Goodman, you have
distinguished yourself?
You have distinguished yourself by adding one body to your body count.
Wow.
You're the first one in this group to build up a body count. Congratulations.
So your number is now one.
Just point of order, are we keeping track of that sort of thing? Is that something we should be aiming for?
Didn't know that. I got the email like last week.
Well,
I get the purple heart.
If you're going to shoot somebody, you very well should aim, absolutely. Now, we are very...
Did we get a raise?
Very thrilled that you saw past the morality of taking a human life and took one for the team, for the organization. Kudos to you.
Actually, I think you did save a kid.
I took one for the team.
Yeah, he does have a hole in his shoulder.
That's true. A very good point, Mr. Hamilton. You did get shot. You literally took one for the team, didn't you?
That's what I've been trying to say for the last 20 minutes, but no one wants to listen to me.
Alright, I've been in your corner.
Well, I appreciate that.
Well, you sound like a broken record. I listened to you for 2 minutes.
Now, I hate to, let's just talk about the elephant in the room.
Okay.
Well, neither of those things would have had to occur, if you hadn't brought your children along on a top-secret mission.
Oh, you're talking to me?
Well, yeah, talking to me.
I'm talking to you.
I don't even have children.
Listen.
Do they know why you were there, or do they just think some guy was crazy and took them?
Let's just say they're not the brightest bulbs.
Even more of a reason for you not to bring them.
Listen, there's nothing in the handbook or anything that says I can't take my kids. And
the school reports say there were like 6 dozen fires in different parts of the building.
It's summer. School's off. School's closed.
Except for the kids.
Oddly enough, when our founders wrote the rule book, they didn't see the need to say, don't take your 12-year-old children on a top-secret
mission. So
there's a rule book?
Once again, email.
So now I gave you, you pointed this out, this terrible decision to leave it out, so now you're going to add it. So now this can never happen in the future.
Now the book's going to be like 4 pages longer than I am.
You're welcome, and I think
you've got to give the guy a point for that one.
And now I should get around, that should be a point for me there.
Yes, we'll have to add that to the rule book. Thank you very much for
looking
at that oversight.
You're welcome. Also, we should talk about that girl at the Orleans Julius stand. Terrible customer service.
Terrible.
Very rude. I think
she'll get rid of the man here. Anybody else are probably going
to
have
she has an attitude, to be honest.
16.
No, she's my daughter.
Yes,
Say that, please.
She's my daughter.
Well...
Now,
who is bringing their children on secret?
Calling up, who's the pot's calling the kettle black?
Would you like your children to join the organization like my daughter has?
Yeah, sure. Get them a job. Lazy, good for nothings.
Bring them in, and we'll put them through conditioning.
Okay,
Derek.
Bring them in and we'll put them through conditioning.
Oh god, spy kids.
Teddy and Freddy, demolitions.
Yeah. Demolitions, arson, and something. We need another thing.
Distraction.
There is one.
Diversionary tactics.
Diversionary tactics.
There is one part of the mission that I would like to. It seems like a minor thing, but it seems that there was a. Trail of Orange Julius that led directly to the secret entrance.
Well, that's entirely your daughter's fault.
I got that taken care of as quickly as soon as I saw that.
Yes, I saw that. That's very commendable.
Wow, another demotion for his daughter.
It's adding up, isn't it, sir?
I have to say, your attitude is surprising.
What attitude? I don't have no stinking attitude.
Hey, can we smoke in here?
Hey, the Wi-Fi in this place is amazing. I'm getting, like, no lag in this dungeon.
Maybe I have an attitude, because one, you blew up my crotch, and two, you're yelling at my perfectly good kids.
I'm not yelling at
you. For no reason.
Did that make you cringe?
My perfect little angels.
He's got half a point.
Right.
Go easy on him. They've got his daughter serving Orange Julius's, and she can't even do that right.
We close with Mr. Savage. Excellent piece of work.
I try to remain quiet and do my job.
The little video you put together was quite entertaining, and it did the job.
It only took like 5 minutes. You just Google search Nazi zombies. Nazis, and there you go.
Nazi zombies. That's a whole different thing.
That's a whole different thing.
You have definitely scored a point for the organization by making sure that Dr. Stein's work will never see the light of day.
Yeah, chalk one up on the Savage box.
It's good things I did.
And then Eric's head goes up.
I'm keeping a tally of all the time to get documented.
Boy. Just looking at your sheet. What do I get? I got something now? I get some stuff now for shit, right? No, that's his line.
You may all return home now.
Oh, great.
Be on the lookout.
So, who should I get in touch with when I get my kids a job here?
Oh, and
we'll
our,
be in touch.
Our expenses. Right. I need to be reimbursed. These $15 for the...
$14.99 for a book. $130 to get my chip tooth fixed.
I got shot.
Do you have any shoes I bought?
You don't have Obamacare?
No, I don't have Obamacare.
I'm the only one that didn't.
Somebody will see to
here,
your
so.
Wounds. So. And any of your medical needs. But it's on the house.
Financial needs.
Now you're talking my language.
As for the $15... You will get your box of cookies.
Oh. Nice cookies.
Sorry, do you need 30
I like you.
Back.
If you already need here, you need tickets to the Bomber
You'll
game.
Go that squat.
You need a hotel room. You know where the best clubs are. You come to me, I'll take care of you. That's
hey,
what I do.
And next time that girl walks by for the cookies,
sure.
You give
now,
me her number. And then,
this is creepy.
It's time for you all to leave. The janitor needs to clean up.
All right, you don't got to tell me twice after the poisonous gas. I'm going.
He pushes a button on his watch, and what you didn't realize was a hologram of him blinks out.
Oh, how did I not notice? Oh, never mind. Hold on.
Well,
I'm almost done with this dungeon.
Where his daughter gets an attitude from, I'm just saying.
Like father, like daughter. Equally incompetent.
I walk out.
I still sit there until I finish the
just
dungeon.
An element that I think will close on this image, and I don't know what it means, or we'll see where it goes, is you guys leave, and you guys get into separate cars, and Addison, you get into your car, and you pull away, and you turn the corner, and parked across the street from the YMCA, and you don't notice this, but the camera pulls in on a big white panel van, and sitting in the driver's seat and the passenger seat are two men, identical.
With turtlenecks?
They're wearing black turtlenecks. They're completely bald.
God.
And it just closes in on their faces, and they look at each other, smile, and then it cuts to black.
Fades to black.
Okay.
Cut or fade?
On next time on Deniable.
All right, so that was the first episode of... That was the pilot episode of Deniable.
Yeah.
Do we want to just call it pilot, or do we want to call it Welcome to...
Paradise Cove.
Welcome to Paradise Cove.
We do pilot colon Welcome to Paradise Cove.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right.
So what did you guys think of this game?
It was fun.
I like it.
I like it.
It was fun.
I've learned that I need to get a gun.
I want to be the gun that guy that solves all these problems without any guns. That's going to be my...
What do you think of the
system?
Doctor
Who.
No,
it's
me. I'm a tech guy.
I feel like if we didn't do six introductory scenes, that game would have lasted like 45 minutes.
Well, the introductory scenes are awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I think in future episodes we wouldn't need to do six introductory scenes, so there would be more.
There would be more home life stuff.
There would be more time spent on home life. There would be more time spent on.
Yeah, this was a pilot, so it was just setting up stuff.
Right.
Next one, we start doing character development. Like, I can't wait to start doing the deal with Derek and my kids.
You haven't had my wife yet.
I didn't talk.
Well, whatever, Dave. The cool thing about this game is that I don't always need to be the director.
Yes. Right. So Ryan could be the director one time. And Derek could be the director if he has an idea.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
So we can do this again and
same
like
characters for sure.
Yeah.
Like any normal show.
Where did you get this game? Is it for free online?
Yeah.
Is it you? Oh, you.
It's
free.
Ryan's still in character.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a free game.
It's a free game.
Oh, it's free.
Yeah. Oh, what wonderful.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I found it on sillyhatbooks.com.
Okay.
Silly Hat.
Sillyhatbooks.com. It's called Deniable, a game of unwitting spies tempted by easy money. And, like I said, it is by...
We weren't offered any easy money or any form of reward.
Yeah.
We were just told to do something.
We could actually
just pointing that out.
No.
Oh, yeah, I'll get to that.
Oh,
it was by Stuart McDermott and Joe Sweeney. So the way that XP works, XP is basically your cred.
Mm-hmm.
You can use your cred later to upgrade scores. I would say that, and XP in this game doesn't always work as far as good role playing. It also has to do with like your contribution to the mission and how the therapist felt about you.
Okay.
Sorry, Meyer. So I think. Whose credit? James's credit is going to go up.
Will.
Chris's credit is going to go up.
Will got the kill. So.
And Will's credit's going to go up.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Took us up by one.
Yeah.
It's my pencil.
I got shot.
So my credit does not go up.
No, your credit doesn't go up.
Those are...
Thank you, Mark.
Go back, like, does it, like, restore?
Yeah, it goes... At the beginning of every game, it restores. So it goes back to three, and then... So yours goes up to four. So yeah, that's the game.
Okay.
All right.
Fun.
I do like this. I like a lot of the games that we've been playing lately.
Yeah. Alright, so we will hopefully be posting this soon. Well, if you're listening to this, we posted it.
Nah.
It might not be so.
Maybe there's some guy that hacked into Ryan's computer and somehow got this. So if you hacked into
Ryan, if you're at home, Ryan, if you're at home listening to this, hopefully we'll be posting this soon.
Or hacker guy that hacked into Ryan's computer, post it for us.
Ryan, I love you.
It's,
love you guys too.
No, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to future Ryan.
All right. Well, then I don't love you in the future.
He doesn't love you yet.
Future Ryan, remember to put in the beginning rant that we had about the thing Ed doesn't want to talk about.
All right, everybody.
Yeah. I love you.
Thank you for listening. Hopefully, we'll hear from you. And
abort.
Let me date your baby, Will.